That's not cool.
What's not cool?
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
We are live on the hot mic right now. You got all your other stuff set up? You got your late show and all that?
We're live on the rant, buddy. Rantiumradio.com. Episode 483 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. You will not find any better wrestling podcast than this one tonight. Quarantine or not, we are killing it. We got Guy Evans, the writer of Nitro, the book of the rise and fall of Ted Turner and WCW, joining us tonight. And we have tons of pro wrestling talk to talk about. We have picks. We're going to do bonus content this week, which we could talk about, and so much more, all next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Woo. The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, the founder and president of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, live on rantiumradio.com, live on the hot mic. Of course, see where you get your podcast. But let's get back to the business at hand. It's wrestling talk.
Talk about wrestling.
Ooh.
Tony.
Ooh.
Matt.
Tony.
Kevin.
Right. It says Matt up there, and it says Kevin over there. What's going on, boys?
Got a little excited. I'm excited to be here, boys.
I'm always excited. You look happier than a pig in slop, dude. You've been having a good day?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I've done nothing all day. But I'm excited. I don't know why. I don't know if it was the Jeff Jarrett liner. I don't know if it was just the fact that the boys are here. I'm getting retweeted by Kate. That's going to be annoying. I should turn off notifications on Twitter, but
I don't know if you saw Matt. It looked like Matt's room was just spinning around him. It's like it was like these weird deals, like this shit.
It was like he was in a Jamiroquai video.
The light on my screen was bothering me, so I had to adjust according. There we go. I'll keep doing it until.
Do you see my forehead every week? It looks like I'm fucking Mr. Clean with all this shine on it over here. It's ridiculous.
Go get your super cologne mask.
No, I can't do that again.
Please.
Dude. No, I can't. We if you want to go double or nothing on fucking NXT this weekend, I'd be more than happy to do that shit.
You know what you got to do, Tony? You got to get. I'm sure you have at least one Hulk Hogan bandana somewhere.
I actually have a Hulkamaniacs jersey in my closet.
All right, I'm talking about to cover your head. Are you gonna put a jersey on your head?
What, am I that ugly, Kev? You don't want me to fucking show my.
You were just complaining about how glistening your forehead was, and I'm like, rock a bandana, bro.
Yeah,
put a hat on.
My super colloded mask didn't do me any favors with the shiny head last week. But
you should have put a hat on backwards to get the full effect of the essence of Colo.
I should have put on my Carlito baseball cap. That would have been.
What if Adele made a song called Colo?
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
It's me.
What the fuck? This is 11 weeks in a row. My bell is nowhere to be found. I don't know where the fuck this thing is.
Colo.
Glad
psychosis.
We've got a wonderful guest, Guy Fieri, is joining us to talk about his new cook.
Guy Evans, you dingleberry.
Oh, I must have got the wrong fucking liner notes. Who's on tonight? Guy Evans? Oh, Guy Evans, the Nitro book. That's right.
Hello. It's Guy.
All right, when he calls, you have to answer with hello. You have to answer with hello.
Who? Matt. How deep does he get into Nitro? So if there's a Super Cologne reference, would Guy Evans get it?
I would imagine so. I mean, he wrote the book on Nitro.
So he has to know everything about Nitro to the point where he would have to know who Super Cologne is.
Super Cologne, El Dandy, which Vianos were there, Juventude.
Super Astro. Hello.
There you go. Hello. Even fucking... who was the other guy that was there for a bit and then he wound up just leaving? He kind of had...
That's everyone, Tony.
No, he had an outfit kind of like... It looked like Mr. JL's outfit.
Was it Cyclope?
Oh, Blitzkrieg.
Blitzkrieg, thank you. Kevin knows.
Yeah, but he wasn't a luchador, though. He was from Germany.
Yeah, but something. He was kind of a luchador.
He was the most acrobatic cruiserweight that they probably had at that time. But he was... I think he was an American. He's American. From somewhere in America?
Well, I would hope so if he's American.
Hello?
Matt, are you all right, dude? You're awful quiet.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I got things going on over here with the soundboard. Nope.
He got his mind on his money and his money on his mind. Hello?
Well, that's why we're here. We're here to take our mind off of all the other shit that's going on.
My mic cut out, so I had to change my port again like I had to do the other week on the Wednesday Night Dynamite show, so... I don't know if the soundboard needs to be cleaned or what the story is.
Starting to go because my two channel over here is awful. I don't even know how I would go about trying to fix the thing. Good thing it's got 7 more ports and, you know, we're fucking quarantined, so I don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah, I don't like the
quarantine. Is your two channel prison talk, Tony?
Yes, that's my asshole. All
right.
Well, at least we know.
The shit tumbles out. I got to get it checked.
At least it doesn't tumble in.
Well... that's probably the cause of the problem.
All right. Kicking it off with a bang.
Don't forget, Guy Evans is joining us in a little while.
7:45 to talk about Nitro.
Naito? Oh, I can't wait.
Not Naito. Oh, where are my fucking notes?
So, Matt,
there?
You read that? Sorry. You read that book cover to cover, right?
I did. I just finished it a couple weeks ago and actually was tweeting about it. So he reached out and said he would, anytime we want to chat about the book with him, to reach out to him. So I said, why not?
And this is the only source other than himself that Eric Bischoff goes by when it comes to talking about the history of Nitro, the history of WCW.
It's more from the Turner perspective.
Right.
You know, everyone knows the story of the rise and fall of WCW, but you learn a lot in this book. It's a really, really interesting read, especially if you want to see the Turner side and, you know, hindsight's 2020. You see everything that Eric Bischoff did and the way he was, and it was, I think he was just a product of nobody giving a shit about WCW.
From the Turner side.
Yes, from the Turner side. And he talked to a ton of people for the book, and we'll get into it. I mean, you know, Bischoff, of course, Harvey Schiller, Jamie Kellner, Scott Safran, all like people from TNT and TBS, not necessarily WCW. I do want to talk to him, though, about Buff Bagwell, because he was in the book a couple times being quoted for things. And if, you know our history with Buff, he could tell a bit of a fib.
Did we talk about Buff Bagwell doing that cameo last week where he was all fucked up in his face?
We did not.
See, I'm more intrigued by his, because he also tried to justify it. So what did he say? What was his explanation of that video?
I think he said he fell and he had been drinking, but he didn't want to miss a shot, I guess, to make these videos because he had to make videos for people. He looked like fucking half a Hulk face. He was all fucked up and he's like, this is Buff. I'm the stuff, and I'm all fucked up.
Yeah, what, he fall and hit a fucking doorknob? He got the piss beat out of him.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, dude. And he had the shirt open and everything. He just was not looking like the Buff of old. And
you can tell just by his voice, that's more than just getting beat up. That's years and years of abuse of something, allegedly. I don't know what it is, but you don't get that you don't get that sound in your voice unless you've.
No, he had a fat lip too, though, in the thing. So I guess that would fuck up your voice regardless.
Yeah, maybe.
I think he said he was in a car accident too.
Well, he did videos after that, and he seemed like he was okay at that point.
All right.
He probably got drunk, fell down the stairs, fucked his face up, and said, instead of saying I should go to bed and sleep it off or I should go get checked out, he said, ah, this is a good time to finish up my cameos for the week.
He's a
American males.
He's a true professional, Tony. Don't knock it.
Love Buff.
He's the stuff, and the girls can't get enough.
That's right. All right. Just like us.
That's it.
Slamming your grandma, too. There you go.
Oh, how you doing over there, Tony?
Slamming grandma? What'd you say?
How you doing over there?
How am I doing? I'm fucking miserable. Today was a fucking rotten day. I woke up and there was something sticking in my craw. I fucking hate everything.
Let's really?
Yeah. No need to get into it, but I'm fucking pretty miserable today.
Is it like the world or is it like the family or is it everything?
No, you know what? It's usually the outside forces, but then they start to trickle into the inside forces. And that's when, you know, like it's kind of like you got to kind of back off things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, you know, like you're fucking, it's like when you go to work and you have a rough day at work. Like, you don't want to come home and start yelling at your wife. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My wife.
It's kind of one of them fucking deals, but. All
right.
That's why I'm kind of glad that we're doing this tonight.
Yeah, you got to check on everybody, though. It's a fucking crazy situation out there. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no need to get into it, but you asked me how I'm doing.
No, of course, but, you know, like. I was talking to a couple people from D-Generation Y, and they're looking forward to Wednesday night, too, because they're just, you know, they're in their shit's fucking, you know, and they're in their heads, and they're fucking, you know, you can't go on fucking social media or watch TV without, you know, the fucking, the world's on fire, everybody's got to wear a mask, there's fucking killer hornets, all sorts of crazy shit going on in the fucking world. Top, you know, and then you throw on top your own personal problems and, you know, you can't fucking go anywhere. You're stuck in the fucking house. So I get it. People need to fucking vent and release. So hopefully this 2 hours of podcasting helps Tony and Kevin and myself and everybody out there listening. We can give you a little joy when we talk to Guy Evans or Guy Fieri or whoever, whatever guy Tony wants it to be tonight.
Guy Smiley.
There you go. Even better. Even better. Bring back Sesame Street. I love Guy Smiley. I don't want to cut off anybody, but can I just mention the Asian bees or whatever they are, the hornets, whatever they are now?
Killer
bees.
We
actually dealt with them in Spain a few years ago. They don't attack anything. They just want to do their thing. They're just fucking huge, menacing looking bugs that, you know, obviously stay away from them because they fucking sting you. They're really going to mess you up. But they're more interested in just doing their own thing, which is fucking great. Because, you know, bees, when it gets cold out, they don't move around so much. And then I pull a fucking heart foundation. I go, shh, and I fucking spray them. And then bye-bye, bees.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a heart foundation reference?
You never saw that promo?
When they wrestled the killer bees?
It's three ways to kill a bee, Kevin.
You can swat them. You can spray them. Or you can give them
a heart attack!
That's got to be Anvil, right?
Well, it was both of them, really. But yeah, Anvil was the one doing the...
I have never seen this promo.
What? What? Are you kidding? Oh, fuck me.
I've never seen this promo. This is Heel Heart Foundation, right? With Jimmy Hart still?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Fantastic stuff.
Oh, my God. I can't call myself a Hart family guy anymore.
No, it's okay. At least you know who the killer bees are. Unlike somebody else I do a show with on Wednesday night.
Leave that poor kitty cat alone.
The voice of reason. There's no reason for him to not know who the killer bees are.
Yeah, but he's a sweetheart, that VOR.
They all are. It's a world full of sweethearts. As Tony looks for this this promo, this wonderful promo.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Oh, there's fantastic. A whole lot of promos with the Hart Foundation calling the killer
bees. It's got to be some like random like Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, it is.
Because they never had a pay-per-view match as far as I know, other than like the mixed Survivor Series stuff.
No, it's one of those opening promos too, where it's just Jimmy Hart with the Hart Foundation. So there's not like a Mean Gene or anybody. Fuck, it's not here.
Like the Survivor Series where everyone says what they're thankful for, or like the Royal Rumble where they say what they're going to win.
Exactly. Like,
those are the best ones.
Oh, they're great.
Tony.
Like, Roddy Piper is like, I'm thankful that I'm not Ricky Rude. Oh, God. What other ones were there? That was so good for Thanksgiving. Hacksaw would always thank the troops.
Of course.
Dude, this is not, and I'm so pissed
like,
off.
Rick Martel would be like, I'm thankful for my good looks. What else? Big Boss Man would like thank Law and Order, which is weird because the show wasn't even on then.
I gotta try one more spot because then otherwise I'd have to go digging through the network and I don't want to waste time doing that. But
it's okay, Tony. We have a lot to talk about.
All right, then let's just jump right into it. What do you guys want to start with?
Oh boy, what do you want to start?
Great question.
With?
Can we talk about?
I love how I said,
what
Tony, never
do
mind.
You
want to
start with?
I want to start with Dick Johnson getting fired.
With who?
Big Dick Johnson. You don't remember the fucking oily guy that used to dance on like ECW? You know,
Chris DeJoseph.
Yeah, that's him.
That's you want to open with him getting fired? Like anyone gives a shit?
No, I don't.
That's the lead, Matt. Clearly, that's the lead.
That's why I went for it, dude.
We might as well talk about Buff Bagwell for another hour.
We could talk about that fucking awful Sting, the Lost Tape.
I would love to talk about that.
You didn't care for that? For real?
What was lost about it?
I don't... They, like, followed him... But it's essentially him, like, meeting very unenthusiastic fans as he's walking through some corridor. Like,
it was...
One
it
dude,
was
like, completely
minutes.
Made this face as he walked by Sting. He didn't stick his hands up. He was like...
It was... I don't... Like, thank God there wasn't more hype for it because I would have been really, really disappointed.
It was like him putting on his face paint. Like, see, it was cool to see Brian Pillman. Like, the weird thing with Buff Bagwell, where Sting's like, oh, you didn't come all the way to Tampa just to support me. Is this a shoot, brother? Just weird. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but, agreed. Now, see, what was the lost? Why is this considered a lost tape? Is it because it was supposed to be like a. A WCW home video that was never released. I thought maybe for a second it was the match of Bubba versus Sting, but then I went and that was on Slamboree 95.
Yeah.
So that wasn't lost.
It was what was I guess this was taped for WCW and it was never aired until it was released on the network.
But it's like the best part about it was probably his interaction with Macho Man. That was probably it. That wasn't even that. And that was just them joking around backstage. And we've seen that between wrestlers a million times. But I guess the only part of it that was cool was that it was seeing Macho Man not being depicted as like, get away from me, brother kind of guy. He was being jovial. And that was like the only thing I took away that was of note from that was the Macho Man stuff. And that was 2 seconds.
I think I found it. I'll get to it in a second.
Yeah, I just thought it was, I don't know. I was like, oh, this sound. And I was like, oh, it's only a half an hour. And I was like, well, they could do like a short, like half an hour thing. But then like 10 minutes of it is the match. And I was
the actual match, yep.
I was like doing notes and shit for the show. And I was watching it. And it was and then it was after the match. And he says goodbye to Mean Gene.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, see you later. See you later, Sting.
Yeah, Gene was out the door before the show started.
He was like, adios, Sting.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It was so bizarre. Like Sting's match didn't even happen yet, but I guess Mean Gene's pre-tapes were all done, so he's like, I'm out.
I mean, I get it. It's like a new thing. It's never before seen, but like when I'm getting emails from the WWE Network about it, I'm expecting like something like you can't give me the Undertaker, the Last Ride, and then
and then
flood my inbox with this. If it just comes up when you put the network on, that's one thing. But if you're sending me fucking emails, and you're like, Sting, the Lost Tapes premieres tonight, and I'm like, oh, what is this? I can't wait to check this out. And then I watched it, and I was like,
if you want, I'm queued up. I'm
all right, do it, baby.
All right, let me make sure. Just let me know if you could hear it. Let me just make sure I have this. Okay, you should hear this no problem.
I'm Jimmy Hart.
I'm Bret the Hitman Hart.
And I'm Jim the Anvil Neidhart. We're the Hart Foundation, and tonight we face the Killer Bees in a tag team elimination bout.
You know the three best ways to kill a bee?
Number one, you can swat them. Number two, you can spray them. Or number three, you can give them
a heart attack!
perfect.
Oh boy.
What a great promo.
Was that for like Survivor Series?
No, it was for the Saturday Night's main event, November 29th, 1986. Hogan versus Hercules was on top.
Nice.
That's weird.
And it was heel versus heel, Macho Man versus Jake the Snake on that show as well for the IC title. That's an interesting match if you've never seen that. You know what? That might be a future watch along. I'm going to call
it. Weird, though. It was an elimination match? It was a tag team elimination match?
I don't know.
Like the Hart Foundation versus Brunzell and Blair, and if Anvil got pinned, he had to leave, or if Blair got pinned, he had to leave.
I don't think so. I think maybe, you know, they just said it wrong. I don't remember it being an elimination match. I remember they used to do a lot of 2 out of 3 falls tag team matches on Saturday Night's main event.
Of course.
The day. But they always had some weird reason for it. Like, you know, the British Bulldogs would do it and they would call it like the Queen's Rules or some shit like that. Or, you know,
Tony, what are your thoughts on the Killer Bees as a tag team?
They were awesome. They were awesome. And you know what? They came from a time where not all the tag teams won tag team gold. So
because there were so many teams back then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they didn't hot potato the titles. And of course, I mean, the tag titles tended to change with a little more frequency than the other belts. But most of the champs wound up holding on to that belt for like, you know, 6-8 months at a time. So, you know, you've got the Hart Foundation with the belts. You've got the Bulldogs had them. Who else? Strikeforce had them for a long time. And then it went.
Before that, you had like Sheik and Volkov.
Sheik and Volkov was kind of like just, I think, so they could do the heel thing at WrestleMania. And then, you know, the U.S. Express wound up winning them back like a couple of months later anyway. But yeah, there were just so many.
Who took the belts off U.S. Express?
The Dream Team.
Yeah, the Dream Team.
Oh, the Dream Team. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, they raked out Barry Windham's eyes with Johnny V's cigar, and that's how they wound up winning the belts.
Good call on the Dream Team. That was a weird team.
Like Valentine and Beefcake. I thought it was an awesome pairing. I thought they were a good team.
But it was like one of those teams where like they weren't really like matching or anything like that, and they just like, oh, what are we going to call them? Oh, we're going to call them the Dream Team because...
Well, when they originally started, Valentine was still with Jimmy Hart.
Right.
And Johnny B was managing Beefcake. And then after a couple of weeks, Jimmy Hart like sold Valentine's contract to or was it the other way around? Yeah, he sold his contract to Johnny V. Was that it?
Yeah, because Johnny V managed the Dream Team.
Yeah, there you go. Johnny V, also the original manager of 3-time tag team champions Demolition.
Well, not all 3 times.
No, not even 1 time.
Not even one time.
Nope. But you know, he brought in the team that went on to achieve tag team success.
The Achieve Team is what we call them.
You know, there's another great promo from Saturday Night's main event with Johnny V, with Valentine and Brutus Beefcake going after the tag belts when he goes, the British Bulldogs are full of British bull. Woo-woo-woo.
Yeah, just like that. Pew-pew-pew.
Yeah, He was trying to be a comedian at the time. And I don't know if you guys know this. You know, this was like in the mid-'80s, late-'80s, when they used to do the interviews in the back with Mean Gene. And they actually plugged one of his upcoming comedy shows. And they were like, now, this isn't a show for the kids. This is a show, this is for adults only. But Johnny Valentine's going to be throwing his hat into the comedy ring trying to do some stand-up comedy, which I thought was fucking hilarious. There he is. There he is, Johnny V.
Look at this beauty.
That's an awesome looking figure. It looks like it's in great shape, too.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's got,
baby boy?
It's got a little thing on the back.
That's not terrible. That's not terrible at all. I've seen some fucking beaters go for good money, but that's in great shape.
This was in that lot that me and Matt picked up a little over a year ago that had like...
That's right. The fucking lot that you guys like ran off like bandits in the night. Like, ran off with that shit.
It was like probably... about 100 figures at least in that lot, and $80 split 2 ways. And this was one of them, the Johnny V.
That's an awesome.
Was in there. Look at that bad boy, Matt. Look at that guy.
Iron Sheik, but the Iron Sheik is like his boots and his tights got all fucked up. He was the only figure that had bad paint. Most of the other ones that I had were actually like still in pretty good shape, but that one got beat to shit.
Yeah, nice little British Bulldog here too, Davey boy. That's in really good shape. All right.
He's forked.
He's forked.
Bizarre.
They said they're coming out with a third season of Darkseid.
That's been confirmed. Okay.
Well, apparently Vice had the Darkseid ratings were the best in the history of Vice's short being. So it's a huge success for them.
Now, who do you go on the short list for new stories to tell?
Oh, Jesus. I mean.
Yeah.
Like, do you go really dark or do you go like this is something that we've never told before?
We're changing it to tan side of the ring.
I mean, but what haven't we covered? Like, what's...
Like, maybe there are stories that aren't super controversial, like Benoit or Snuka or Owen, but they're still controversially, like, in financial aspects or
they could tell aspects. They could tell the story how the story how the Warrior held up Vince at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Well, they could do a whole show on the Warrior, to be honest with you.
How about Andy Kaufman? Him getting involved in wrestling. That'd be an interesting story, you know? I mean, I know they made a movie about it, but...
Right.
Well, I don't know.
ECW WXW from that pay-per-view?
With the brawl in the back?
Yeah.
Anybody really going to give a shit about that?
I don't know. You have to, you know, or do you just...
Oh. Were there any, like, sex scandals that they could touch on?
Ooh! No pun intended. And Stephanie.
No, they're not going to go Macho Man Stephanie.
Hey, look, I'm just spitballing here. I don't know.
What about, like, why can't you do one on the steroid trial?
Yeah, Zahorian.
You can?
There you go.
Or the stuff about that announcer that accused...
Oh, fuck, Mel Phillips?
Is that his name? He looked like Bischoff?
No. Mel Phillips was the Black Ring announcer.
Oh, I'd like to hear about. I just like to hear a documentary about him, and like Mike McGurk, and this. Now I want a documentary on ring announcers.
I'm friends with Mike McGurk on Facebook. She doesn't really post that much.
Well, look what you did.
I just name dropped.
Yeah. Bloop.
Ding. I wish I knew where the bell was.
You could do the Jerry Lawler rape thing.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh Christ.
I mean, look, trickle-down effect. It was, you know, that was the beginning of that Vince McMahon heel thing where he took his stable into USWA, and Lawler was working on WWE as the heel, and then we were going into that Survivor Series. And then, like, 2 days beforehand, it ended up being Shawn Michaels and his Knights. And then we never saw that USWA heel Vince McMahon WWF thing play out. So, I don't know.
Yeah, dude, imagine what would have happened like if USWA got that big-time pay-per-view exposure.
It would have been awesome.
Like, I'm not saying, like, the landscape would have changed or anything like that, but USWA, just to think about the USWA as an entity, because it always gets forgotten when you talk about stuff. It's usually, like, Global or UWF or, you know, Smoky Mountain. And, like, USWA was a pretty big deal.
They never did Macho and Lex Luger and Liz, did they? Did they ever cover Liz's death?
No, but that's one you could do.
Well, they could do Lex Luger jumping Nitro. If you want to go like more PG-ish.
Kate the Great suggests Pillman and then everything with his wife afterwards, which was a little weird. That whole situation. Or Sonny.
Sonny!
I'll take Sonny.
Are they going to show her in a bathtub full of eggs? That would be a fucking awesome cutaway, wouldn't it? Just like you see like this voluptuous like shadow in the tub and somebody's cracking eggs.
Wait, what? Is this an inside joke I'm not getting?
No. Back in the day, when she did that Wrestling Vixens video, one of the scenes was that she was in a tub full of like eggs.
You know what? You gave that to us for like Christmas one year, I think.
I did.
And I still haven't watched it.
Oh, didn't we put it on during one of the Christmas episodes?
We put it on at one point, and it was very uncomfortable.
For who?
Probably for me.
All right.
I mean, I think I remember it being uncomfortable, but a lot of things were uncomfortable.
All I remember is I posted a picture of it, and I said it's something about like Christmas gifts, and then Sunny actually replied to me, and she's like, that's not my autograph, because they were all autographed allegedly by her.
Yeah, that's right.
And I bought them from High Spots, so who knows where High Spots got them from? But from the queen herself, Sunny, she said, "Yeah, that's not my signature."
You bought him from Man Scout Manning?
Yes. Scout's honor. You know he lost a wrestling title to a tent? Did you know about this?
You know that was his gimmick, right?
Yeah, I know. He couldn't beat the tent.
Yeah, the tent. He would always throw a tent in the ring or something like that, and people would go in the tent, and it was very bizarre.
And he lost to the tent, and he couldn't win any rematches. The tent kept retaining the title.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, there you go. Fucking tents.
You sure it wasn't John Tenta?
No, it was the circus. It was intense.
Circus tent. Gotcha.
So before Guy Evans joins us to talk about the book Nitro, The Incredible Rise and Inevitable Collapse of Ted Turner's WCW, we gotta talk about this fucking Jeff Hardy bullshit.
Oh, yes. God damn, woo. Horrid. I never watched SmackDown. You know I never watched SmackDown. I turn on SmackDown at 8:02, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then somebody had posted, I want to say it was in a Discord, like, what is going on SmackDown? And Adam Pearce has a gaggle of people around him. And then I'm picking up little things like fucking Sheamus is calling him like a drunk or he can't control his demons and shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's been a thing. The Sheamus Jeff Hardy, that's been a thing. And actually, I only watched, like, I turned on SmackDown like 8:15 and then like I fell asleep. So I only saw that. So I thank God I didn't see this whole debacle. So
I don't know why they would make a story out of something. I mean, especially Jeff Hardy's been documented. He's had problems so many times. He's relapsed. How many times he's gotten pulled over for DUIs? How many times they busted into his house and they confiscated drugs and they arrested him? Like, seriously, like, of all the things to make a story about, they're going to go with this? Like, are they that tapped for storylines? It just makes no sense.
It's, yeah. I've really been trying to pull back the reins on my anti-WWE stance. But what? I just don't fucking get it. Like, to Tony's point, like, you have all, like, I will never say, like, Bruce Pritchard is not a great mind. You have all these amazing minds that still work for the company. And now you're not doing live TV every week. You're taping shit. That's what, somebody can't be like, you know what? This dude clearly is not over this battle that he's having, because it's like within the last year it's happened a couple times, right?
Exactly.
Like, I just don't understand it. And then you're gonna insult the wrestling fans, because then he was at the end of the show, right?
Yeah, he interfered in the fucking Daniel Bryan match with Sheamus, or he kind of just like stood on the apron and distracted him, or, you know, whatever nonsense they do.
Now, was he supposed to be intoxicated when he came back?
I think the way it's going to play out is that it was all a setup by Sheamus.
It's got to be a setup by somebody. Because, like, why would they do it to another babyface?
I just...
Elias is a babyface. Why would they have Jeff Hardy, I guess, other than to make him look like a heel, only to be manipulated into or you know, set up for it? And again, I didn't see it, so I don't know how Jeff Hardy was acting. Was he supposed to be like? Was he acting drunk? Was he denying stuff? Like,
he was
story?
Hiding in the bushes. He was hiding in the bushes when the cops came, and they said they smelled alcohol on him, and the inside of the vehicle smelled like the same alcohol. So they put two and two together and arrested Jeff Hardy. Well, all the referees were there, like, I guess helping with the arrest. Like, I don't fucking
right.
know.
And there was who was there? Charlie Caruso was out there.
No, I think it was Renee Young was out
there.
Oh,
yes, Renee Young, yes, because that's usually, you know, at the scene of the crime, your WWE...
wearing her culottes and her heels. And...
announcer is there, because she's like a real newscaster. Fuck out of here.
Journalist.
WWE Digital, this was the statement after SmackDown. WWE Digital has learned Jeff Hardy was released from custody by the Orlando police after successfully passing the required sobriety test, therefore absolving Hardy of the charges of public intoxication, driving under the influence, and the hit and run on Elias earlier tonight.
Wow, so he's definitely set up then.
You could...
I don't know what else to say. I don't know.
There's there's no, you can't be creative and figure out a way to make this happen without being like, haha, this is the guy who's constantly battling fucking demons. And whether he agrees to do it or not, it's still fucking shitty, man. The fact that someone was like, you know what we should do? We should say Jeff Hardy got drunk and he ran over Elias.
Yeah, and I don't understand. Like, Bruce Pritchard says this shit all the time. It's like, oh, you know, these guys don't have to do it. They don't have to do anything. They're not comfortable. It's bullshit, dude. You know he's going to be uncomfortable, and you put that on his fucking plate knowing that fact. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, but would he really be uncomfortable doing it? Did he say he was uncomfortable doing it? I don't think so.
But why would you put him in that situation? You know what
because
I'm saying?
Because the story, as Matt just read, was that he wasn't.
Right, but you're he's being.
He wasn't.
He's being portrayed as that. Someone went to him and said, let's pretend that you got your, you know, that Sheamus sets up you being, you know, right. Sheamus did it and then he beats you up and he throws you in the bush and it makes you look like, you know, he poured fucking, it's like the fucking Jake Roberts, Jerry Lawler thing where he made fucking poured the fucking Jack Daniels all over him. It's fucking stupid. What are we doing?
And I'm not I'm not saying it's a good storyline at all, but if you want to like play the devil's advocate, I mean, they did the same thing with Hawk. They did the same thing with Scott Hall on WCW.
Yeah, it was all terrible.
There.
But I'm just saying, at least in this case, and we talked about it last week with Owen Hart, after the Owen Hart thing, about like why did they make him the Blue Blazer? Come on, you have this great talent. Because you know what? It was better than putting him in a role that he would be uncomfortable with. And I think this was – they probably had an idea. I wouldn't doubt for a second that the real idea was to actually have Jeff Hardy portray a drunk. But at least this way, he's not, and it just makes Sheamus like that's my only logic that I can see them thinking. And don't get me wrong, it's bad.
And it's and I don't want to hear like, oh, you know, this stuff happened all the time in the Attitude Era. Attitude Era was fucking garbage. I get it. It was the biggest era. It was the biggest draw outside of like six dudes in the WWF. The rest of it was fucking shit, okay? It was fucking absolute dog shit.
Yeah, it doesn't age well. A lot of it doesn't look great. Like, I've tried to go back and watch that. I have an easier time going back watching shit from the 80s than I do going to watch that stuff. And that's
that's what I think Tony just hit the nail on the head. I don't think it was so much trash as that it just doesn't age well.
Yeah.
No.
We're like, I go back and watch cartoons from my childhood. Like, I loved Ninja Turtles. I loved, like, Thundercats.
Right,
I go back
bad.
And watch them now. I'm like, wow, these are bad cartoons. Like, why did I watch these?
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to get a lot of heat on that, but it's just true. Like, I loved Fraggle Rock as a kid. I go back and watch Fraggle Rock. Like, this is not a great show. Like,
but
it's weird.
But then in the 90s, like, you were fucking watching Raw. You were flipping over to Nitro every fucking Monday, back and forth, you know?
Of course, but to your point, Tony, it doesn't hold up well because a lot of it was garbage.
Yeah, but at the time, it was fucking cool.
Oh, no, I will never... Look, I got my fucking DX foam finger in the other room. I got fucking 350 VHS tapes at home of every wrestling pay-per-view because I bought every single one and taped them all. I loved it. But I was 16, 17 years old. Same boat, Tony. I'll go back. The 80s and the early 90s, that fucking new generation era of WWF might be my favorite era.
And we fucking hated it at the time. It was fucking garbage at the time.
I didn't hate. I loved it.
Well, all right. You were of that age at that point, too. But
yeah, I was.
That was when my fandom was like, eh. Matter of fact, I even had somebody from WWE Publishing or whatever, you know, Titan Publishing, call, and they were like, oh,
hello,
we noticed that you canceled your subscription to WWF magazine, and they're like, any particular reason? I said, yeah, I'm just not into wrestling anymore. And like, when I said it, I was like, wow, I'm really not, like, I just don't give a shit, like, I didn't care anymore. And I feel like I missed out, because for all the fucking awful characters that they put out there, they had some pretty damn good wrestlers and they had some good wrestling at the top of the cards. But it was like the reverse of like what Nitro became. You had a lot of great shit on the undercard, and the fucking top of the card was dog shit. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I never got out of wrestling. Like, everyone, like Matt, I know you did. Tony, you just said that you did. I never got out of it. So I've watched every single era from, I'll say, 89 to today. So, like, but for some reason, I always find myself, when I go back and watch, not necessarily the WWF Attitude Era, not even necessarily the new generation. I go back to 89 to like 93 a lot. And then I'll watch Nitro just because it's something that doesn't exist anymore. Like WCW doesn't exist. WWE still exists. So I won't go back and watch old WWE unless it's from 89 to 93 to 94. And of course, Bret Hart's run, which I loved, and Shawn Michaels' emergence as a top babyface, which I loved. And it's just weird. I don't go back and watch Raw from the Attitude Era. Like, I don't watch Mick Foley win the belt. That'll put some butts in the seats. I don't go back and watch that. And I don't know why. Maybe there's something to Matt's point. Maybe there's something to your point, Tony. It just doesn't age well.
And I also feel like there's certain points. There's also certain points during those eras where, like, I feel like I missed out on stuff just because a lot of the shit was bad. But we've got a call coming in right now.
Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he's the author of Nitro, The Incredible Rise and Inevitable Collapse of Ted Turner's WCW, Mr. Guy Evans. Mr. Evans, how are you tonight?
Is Mr. Evans not with us?
There's nobody there.
Wow. Skype lied to me. Nope, he must have left. I don't know what happened. I added him to the call. Can All we right. see if we can get him?
I will see if he sends a message.
All right.
As we patiently wait.
Technology. Awful.
Quarantine rules.
Yeah, of course it does. Of course it does. Well, now we need to start the show with an apology.
Apology to who?
To our guest.
Yeah, he's going to try again.
Kevin quit the show.
Kevin's out.
Kevin's done. Kevin can't take the stress anymore.
No, he's probably like, you know, he's not missing anything. He said he's trying again.
Yeah, he was. And I think I'm pressing the button to add him on, and he's not adding on. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, technology.
Of course. Hey, are you able to answer it if he calls?
No, I see nothing on my screen.
No, but I'm saying if he tries calling, well, he can't. I don't know what's going on, dude. This stinks.
Hold on. I'll see if I can get his number, Tony. Will that help make it easier?
Yeah, because then I could punch him in. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, so,
make sure you say it nice and loudly on the air too.
What?
His number.
Come on, I'm not a dick like that. Don't be a dick.
That's all right. Kev, you don't have to mute your microphone, dude. He's not on the call yet.
No, I just muted it because I got up.
Oh, what'd you get yourself? A nice frosty beverage.
You know it. Now I got to hand sanitize.
All right. So while we're waiting for Guy to call in or try to get him on the phone. What did you guys think about some of the backlash with the Matt Hardy drowning in the pool with Proud and Powerful? Yeah, I know you're rolling your eyes, and I rolled my eyes too because I didn't even think about something like that coming on.
I thought didn't we talk about this last week for a second?
Maybe.
Dude, I'm trying to add him. It's just not working. I don't know what's happening.
What was the backlash? Was it about Shad?
Yes.
That's pretty much what it was.
I thought when I watched it, that's immediately what I thought. Really? Yeah.
That did not enter my mind at all.
The furthest thing from my mind.
I think when I watched it the second time, I think that's when it hit me. I was like, whoa. Like, it's where my mind went. I can't control that. But the backlash is kind of ridiculous, but I was like, there's really nothing they can do because this was like taped, so it was already done. Like, you can't.
People need to fucking
chill out. Yeah, absolutely.
Like the fucking Edge Orton spot with the weightlifting set. Like, stop. Just stop. Like, it wasn't done to be like, oh, this is reminiscent of fucking Chris Benoit.
Right. Well, and this was actually taped before the Shad thing. I think it actually happened, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was taped. Shad's story developed, and they just went through with it because it was already done. And I don't know what their capabilities are of retaping or editing or this and that.
I think it's just people looking to complain about something. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I won't go ahead and say that I agree with the backlash, but I thought about it when I watched it.
It was the
and I will say that, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's just where my mind went.
That was the furthest thing from my mind. Furthest thing.
Well, when I think it really was triggered when it was when one of the guys from one of our friends from Proud and Powerful said, "I can't swim, I can't swim." But here's what I'll defend them.
Like, but it was joking because it was like they said it was like only 2 or 3 feet of water.
Right. Again, but I can't say that I didn't think about it when it happened. So.
Hello,
Mr. Evans. How are you?
I'm doing good, fellas. How are you doing?
You know, technology. Usually we're all together for this, and this is a much easier forum for us. But this quarantine's got us doing a show from three separate locations, so nothing is ever exactly. easy.
Well, hey, we made it in the end, so I'm glad to be with you guys. How are you doing tonight?
We're excellent. I'm so happy to have you. We talked about it a little bit before you called in. I had just finished your book a couple weeks ago, and I was raving about it on Twitter. And then you reached out and were interested in speaking, and we would love, you know, we jumped at the opportunity to talk to you about this excellent book, Nitro, The Incredible Rise and Inevitable Collapse of Ted Turner's WCW, available at wcwnitrobook.com. And of course on Twitter at wcwnitrobook. The genesis of this idea, where did it come from? Because everybody knows the story of WCW, the rise, the fall. Mm. You've seen the WWE DVDs, the network specials, the Monday Night Wars. But you went in almost a completely different direction with it in terms of the business side from the Turner standpoint. Why did you decide to go that route?
I suppose the short answer is, and I appreciate the very kind words, by the way, but I think the short answer is, I think it makes for a much more interesting story when you examine the dynamic between WCW and its parent company, that being, of course, Turner Broadcasting. And it became quite obvious to me fairly on in the process that that is really where the most interesting material was going to come from. Because as you mentioned, there have been a number of other books and documentaries and various accounts of the WCW story produced over the years. And I think with the network being on the scene now for quite a few years, you know, the shows are there for people to go back and watch. There have been countless numbers of people who've done some great work, you know, looking back and reviewing those shows and writing about them from the perspective of someone analyzing the content of the shows. So I suppose I kind of saw a little bit of a gap in the literature, if that makes sense. You know, there was kind of a glaring omission in terms of how people looked at WCW, where you would see, you know, you'd hear about some of these shadowy figures, whether they be a Jamie Kellner or a Harvey Schiller or a Brad Siegel. And it was quite curious to me that you would never actually hear from these people. You know, you would hear them discussed, but quite often you wouldn't hear, you know, their opinions on WCW. So I suppose I thought there was a gap there that someone needed to address. And it also presented itself as quite a challenge to me to take something that, as you pointed out there, a lot of people thought, you know, there was nothing more to tell, and actually kind of introduce a whole lot of new information. So that's kind of how it came about.
And when you speak to the guys, the people whose names wrestling fans might not know, as opposed to the people that wrestling fans might know, as a reporter, as an interviewer, is there a different level of validity to somebody like a Kellner or a Siegel, as opposed to like a Vince Russo or I don't know who else you would talk to on the wrestling side, but do you get more truths from these people as opposed to the people actually on the wrestling side of the business?
I wouldn't necessarily say so. I wouldn't say that's the case. I mean, even people who worked on the corporate side, whether that was for the television network specifically or more broader roles within TBS, I think you quite often come across people who may have their own agendas, and they may have scores to settle. And, you know, there were some people that I spoke to where it was obvious there was some lingering resentment still about the fact that WCW was part of the TBS portfolio, so to speak. But I'll tell you one thing that really helped me in terms of ascertaining, to your point there, the validity of the various claims that people would make to me, was having access to really a treasure trove of company materials that really have been under lock and key since WCW was closed down. So I'm talking about things like financial statements and memos and internal documents, emails, things of that nature. So if someone was on the other end of the line talking about WCW's financial performance in a particular year, I could kind of pull out, you know, the financial statement for myself. And that was really helpful in terms of making the decision what to include and what not to include.
Now, are you a wrestling fan?
Well, I would describe myself as, you know, I was a very ardent fan, you know, during the Monday Night Wars period, for sure. You know, I have to say that contemporary wrestling, for me personally, doesn't hold the same appeal. I mean, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with being at a different stage of life and all kinds of other things. But I certainly consider myself a fan. I have a tremendous amount of respect for everyone in the business and many of those people. Without them, this book wouldn't have happened. But to me, you know, the time period that this book focuses on, the mid to late 90s, that really holds a special place in my heart as far as my enjoyment of wrestling.
And for those interested in the book, I highly, highly recommend it. I read a ton of wrestling books, and this is definitely one of my favorite. And I mean, if you listen to Eric Bischoff's 83 Weeks, he puts this over constantly. This book is awesome. It covers everything that we know in terms of the rise of WCW, the NWO, and all this stuff. But the behind-the-scenes stuff is fascinating. You said you got a treasure trove of paperwork and files and stuff, and you put a little excerpt of Hogan's contract in the book, which is unbelievable. Was there other contracts in there, and did your head kind of spin when you were looking at these numbers, thinking these guys are pro wrestlers and they're robbing this company blind? I mean, the Hogan contract is mind blowing. God bless Hulk Hogan for being able to pull that off, but holy shit, did he was like, come to daddy.
Right. Well, you know, it was interesting because once I started going through a lot of that stuff, yes, the contracts and things of that nature, some of that would jump out at you. But I tell you what was very interesting to come across is just the transformation that happened over the years with regard to the level of planning and preparation that WCW would put forth for its shows. So, you know, one sort of piece of what I was able to get a hold of was, you know, dozens and dozens of show formats and scripts over the years. And you would really see how things changed from the early Nitro shows, which of course were an hour long, to when it went to 2 hours to 3 hours, and how, you know, the level of preparation for those shows certainly changed over time. But, you know, to your point about the contract issue specifically, you know, that was something in the last couple of years of WCW became hugely problematic, obviously, because they had this fixed expense structure in place where they had to pay out an exorbitant amount in salaries. And once viewers stopped paying to watch WCW pay-per-views and you no longer had that same revenue coming in, that was obviously something that really accelerated the downfall, because you go back and look at those numbers relative to the competition at the time, you know, not very impressive. But if you look at them in isolation, it's clear that there were still a decent number of people, to say the least, who were interested in watching WCW, but a very, very small fraction of people who were actually interested in paying to watch it. And that was, as I said, a huge problem.
And forgive me for skewing this back to a wrestling perspective. Matt mentioned that Eric Bischoff raves about you and your book. What is your relationship, if any, is like with Eric Bischoff today?
Yeah, well, I've been blown away personally with his reaction to the book, because I think, as he has talked about on his podcast, you know, there are some things that reflect positively on his WCW tenure in the book, but there's also a lot of content that I think he has characterized as being hard to read and potentially, you know, embarrassing for him personally and professionally. So I have to say, I think it's very commendable to be able to separate that from your wider analysis of a project like this, because I think most of us, if we read something that was critical of us and we were reading anecdotes and stories that, as I say, didn't reflect too positively of us all of the time, I think there's a natural tendency to just kind of dismiss the whole thing and say it's a bunch of BS, this person is wielding an agenda. So I have had the opportunity through, you know, the StarCast events and things of that nature to speak with him, you know, in person and so on. And I have to say, you know, what he has said to me in person is exactly what you guys hear on the podcast. So again, I think it's, what I know people have strong opinions, but I have to say, I think it's very commendable that he's kept that perspective.
Another person that you interviewed for the book, another polarizing figure in the world of wrestling at that time, was Vince Russo. What was it like to deal with him? What kind of insight did he offer to you? Because, you know, a lot of people in the fans' eyes, you know, they always say, like, when Vince was with Vince McMahon in WWF, he had a filter to go through. But when he was over in WCW, everybody kind of saw him as, like, you know, he was going to be the guiding light. He was going to be the savior. He was going to bring all the good stuff from WWF over to WCW. And things kind of didn't work out that way. And a lot of fans, like, always saw him as, like, the period where WCW started going off the rails. What was it like interviewing him? What was your you have any opinions of him and what his contributions to in terms of WCW?
Well, I think there's a quote in the book from Alan Sharp, who was in charge of doing the PR for WCW back in the day. And I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he said something to the effect of, you know, it was just a bad fit. You know, Vince Russo in WCW, you think about what he was known for and what, quite frankly, he had success with in the WWF and being a big part, I would say, of that turnaround. And then immediately he comes into an environment where he's not able to conduct himself in the same way. He's not able to write the shows in that style. And, you know, you can certainly take that one step further and say, well, maybe that does mean that, you know, he was a one-trick pony, and maybe he should have had something else in his back pocket, seeing as that was the case. Other people hold the perspective that maybe he should have been given more time. You know, let's not forget, 3 months into his tenure, there's a big shakeup, and all of a sudden WCW are going in a different creative direction, which is something that happened, if you really look at those last 18 months, almost on a clockwork type basis. Every 3 months there'd be a huge shakeup. And so it's got to be very, very difficult in that kind of environment to get any continuity going and build any momentum. So obviously it didn't work, but I think looking back on it, it was probably a flawed premise from the beginning that we're going to bring in, you know, Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara, these guys who are known for a particular kind of programming, but they're not going to be able to do this kind of programming here. I don't see how that, especially without an extended period of time to make it work, I don't see how that could have worked.
And the fact that someone like yourself would dive so deep into a subject like the downfall of WCW in terms of this business aspect of it, along with the wrestling aspect of it, what were your expectations going into writing the book? And was there something that came up while you were doing your research, while you were doing these interviews, that totally may have either changed your expectations or just completely surprised you?
Yeah, I would start with, if people haven't checked out the book already, if you look at chapter one in and of itself, it kind of completely reframes the way that we have thought about the Monday Night Wars and how they came to be in the first place. You know, we have heard the story that Eric Bischoff has told ad nauseum about the famous meeting with Ted Turner, but the book goes into the meeting before the meeting, so to speak, and the fact that that was actually something that had been privately determined before that interaction took place. So I think that would be something. I think, you know, again, not to give too much away, but in the final stages of the book, there are certainly some twists and turns in terms of, you know, WCW's eventual cancellation from the Turner networks, which really, when you take all of those things in concert, it really presents a much more complex picture than I think previously we had, as fans, had been made aware of. So I would like to think that, you know, if you haven't read the book already, that there's definitely a number of key points in the story that this book has brought to light that we haven't been privy to before.
And we are on the line with Guy Evans, author of Nitro, The Incredible Rise and Inevitable Collapse of TNT, Ted Turner's WCW, WCWNitroBook.com. It's also available on Amazon. Just throw in Nitro, comes right up. It's an awesome book. And again, on Twitter, at WCWNitroBook. Over 120 personalities interviewed from Turner Broadcasting Systems to WCW. Any wrestlers who denied or didn't want to take part in this book, or maybe you started talking to them and then they decided, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this. They're trying to move past it.
Oh yeah. Anyone who asked for money, that didn't work out. You know, there were a couple of people who said, Oh, I can tell that's a popular comment. There were a couple of people who, you know, I guess took my phone call as the beginning of a negotiation. And that's one thing that I was never going to do going into this book is pay for an interview. So there were some people, unfortunately, that I probably, or I should say, you know, very likely would have spoken to if that wasn't a condition of them speaking to me. You know, I think, it's interesting to see now, even a couple of years after the book has come out, I think there are some people associated with WCW who have sort of come back into the spotlight, if you will, over the last maybe year or so, that at the time that I was writing this book were not particularly interested in talking about it. So that's been an interesting thing that's happened. And I think if I was project today, I would have been able to capture them as well. But what I really, I think, benefited from in doing this book was the timing, because I think if this book had been written maybe in 05, 06, 07, when many of these key people were under contract either to WWF or WWE, I should say, or TNA, a number of the key executives even were very much active within the television business, it would have been much, much more difficult to get the kind of access that, quite frankly, I was as surprised as anyone else that I was able to get. And I was very fortunate and very grateful to all of those people that gave their time to be part of the project.
Your response to not paying for interviews, we've had the same situation on the podcast where we refuse to pay wrestlers for interviews.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why you got such a rounding applause there, because I think we're all in the same boat. I mean, we've had over 250 guests, many, you know, big names in wrestling. So when somebody asks for money, it's kind of, I understand it's a business, but at the same time, it's like, No, not here. Out of the wrestlers that you did get to talk to, Kevin Nash, DDP, Buff Bagwell, Kevin Sullivan, who was your favorite to interact with?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I have to say, I guess there's a number of people that come to mind. I think DDP, because of his enthusiasm, you know, and the fact that I think you could probably ask him about any subject that relates to his time with WCW, you know, he was more than happy to talk about it. And I found with him that, you know, with the right follow-up questions and pressing him a little bit, you know, he would open up actually to a degree that was quite surprising to me. I think Kevin Nash, I think this is reflected in some of his quotes in the book. You know, I think that I was able to ask him about some topics that maybe hadn't been broached before and go into a little bit more depth about a number of things, especially regarding his tenure as booker of WCW and things of that nature. So those are two that come to mind. Kevin Sullivan, as you mentioned, you know, being able to kind of sit back and ask him to outline his booking philosophy. And, you know, I remember asking him a very open-ended question, which is, you know, can you talk about how you put together a card, you know, before we even start talking about, you know, WCW or Nitro or Turner or anything else, like, talk to me if you could about your booking philosophy and how you build a card and why certain matches are placed in certain spaces and how do you go from show to show? How do you build a program? How do you map out pay-per-view to pay-per-view? So, you know, just being able to sit back and listen to people like that talk about what they did so well, it gives you obviously much more knowledge about the subject, but it also gives you an appreciation of, you know, when wrestling is done well, just what a fascinating form of entertainment it can be. So again, very grateful that I got the chance to hear what I heard on the other end of the line.
Yeah, it is. It's quite fascinating when you really look at the history of WCW and the height, and then just how quickly it just kind of unraveled. I mean, I'm a huge Bret Hart guy. Kevin's a huge Bret Hart guy. I legit still become furious when we have to talk about Bret Hart and WCW. Just because I can't wrap my head around the fact that you take someone like Bret Hart and you can't find, it's like start and stop. And you kind of cover that a little bit in the book and his frustrations with that. And when WCW closes its doors and when they go out of business, I mean, the amount of talent that they had there of super young AJ Styles, Shane Helms was there, Shannon Moore, you know, Jindrak, O'Hare, like
Felix Skipper.
It's so frustrating. And you cover it towards the end of the book, and Eric Bischoff's talked about it openly, how he was trying to buy WCW, and he had a whole plan for it. And I think that's the most upsetting part for me, because I think once WCW went away, Vince kind of threw his hands up and was like, I win. You know, there's no other competition. And I think it affected the product. That's me just going on a tangent about.
Well, no, and I think what's equally as frustrating when you think about it, you mentioned some of the talent, the younger talent that were, I suppose, starting to assert themselves a little bit towards the end there. But if you go back and you look at the last, and this I think is kind of a forgotten tidbit, so to speak, of the WCW story as a whole. If you go back and look at those last few months, you know, early 2001, obviously in January, as you mentioned, you had the announcement that Fusion Media Ventures, of which Eric Bischoff was involved with, were going to buy WCW. And it was kind of an injection of enthusiasm to the company at that time. And that was really reflected in the actual shows. You know, it seemed like from a fan's point of view that, you know, a number of the high profile talent who were left at that point seemed to be putting in more effort. It certainly became a much tighter show at that point. You had less of the craziness, you know, of the previous year, and it was kind of more back to basics, you know, maybe not setting the world on fire. We're not going to pretend like they were the greatest shows ever, but you could see there was the foundation of something, and it would have been very interesting to see where they would have taken that for the rest of 2001 and beyond. And so, you know, again, I think that's something that kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but I challenge anyone to go back, you know, if you dare, watch all of 2000. You might not still be alive after seeing it, but watch the year 2000 and then watch those initial few months in 2001. You will see that there was kind of a stabilization process occurring at that time.
You cover everything in the book, which again, I can't put over enough. WCWNitroBook.com is the website, at WCWNitroBook on Twitter. Guy Evans, the author of the book, is on the phone with us. You talk about the internet pay-per-views that they did. Were you able to listen to just the audio of those shows?
You mean, was I able to do that, like, recently, are you saying? Or back
yes.
when they had...
No, like, recently.
Yeah, well, yes, that was part of, thankfully, you know, what I was able to get access to, as I talked about before, is I was able to come across a number of those shows, which stunned me, you know, because I had figured that since they aired on the internet in the late 90s and maybe the first couple of years of the next millennium, that they were gone forever. But evidently, you know, when you start asking and pointing in the right direction, sometimes you can be amazed at what you find. So I do have some of those shows, and, you know, I do have some thoughts about potentially in a follow-up book, trying to explore that a little bit further.
That was my next question for you, was if you were going to do any other wrestling related books, because this book, again, home run. Anyone who's a fan of the Monday Night Wars, WCW, WWF, wrestling fan, it's a great, great perspective. So I guess you kind of answered it, but I'll ask it. Is there any plans for a follow-up to this book or another wrestling book or just a book in general? I know you're an author, so I'm sure you're not pigeonholed into one category.
Well, no, and again, I really do appreciate those words. You know, it makes you feel like all of the work that went into something like this was worthwhile. So I do really appreciate that. You know, I thought originally this would be probably the only book that I would write about wrestling, but the response, I mean, I know it's kind of a cliche to say it's overwhelmed you, but, like, I mean, it really has, because it's nearly 2 years since this came out. And just when I think that, okay, you know, it's kind of dying down a little bit, someone will discover it, someone will talk about it, and then a whole new wave of interest will start. And it's amazing to me, as I say, that 2 years later, there's still so much interest in the book, which is incredible. So absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a subject that I find fascinating. I think it's really a business like no other in many respects. I think the characters and the personalities involved, especially during this time that the book focuses on, are very intriguing and very interesting people. So I am currently working on a follow-up. What I am trying to do is kind of take my time with it, because, you know, I want to make sure that it's of a similar standard to this first book. I don't just want to put something out for the sake of it. It's got to be, you know, up to that same standard. And, you know, that may take a while. This book took 3.5 years, but, you know, in the end, I'm sure it'll be worth it.
I don't doubt it. I mean, if you have Eric Bischoff putting it over on his podcast with Conrad Thompson, I mean, that is the main, those are the wrestling fans that want to read these books. So, yeah. I mean,
in our world, you're not going to get much higher praise than Eric Bischoff, especially when it comes to that category, for sure.
Oh yeah, and again, I think, you know, him and you know, and Conrad. I mean, you know, when I think you guys are aware that you may have been a part of it. I apologize for not knowing, but the StarCast events that have taken place over the past couple of years. I mean, you know, the fact that they built a panel discussion around this book and WCW more broadly, but that was part of the second StarCast you know, event. You know, I'm just you know, very grateful for Eric Bischoff, Conrad, the whole team, for them kind of putting it on that pedestal. I mean, it certainly has helped tremendously.
Absolutely.
We are on the line with Guy Evans, WCWNitroBook.com, at WCWNitroBook on Twitter, available on Amazon.com. It is an easy read. It is a great read, and it gives you a behind-the-scenes look at Nitro and Ted Turner's involvement and the whole TNT TBS structure, which is super interesting. Did you have a favorite? Oh yes,
I'm sorry,
Kevin.
Matt. I thought you were.
No, go ahead.
I thought we were counting them off.
No.
Let me ask you this though: knowing what you know about Turner, then is there anything that you know or any advice you would give to the relationship between AEW and TNT and Turner Network now?
You know, that's a great question, because one of the very interesting things that I found when the AEW promotion was announced and then subsequently the TV deal was announced was, you know, I had a lot of people email me saying, you know, isn't this ironic that Turner Network Television are back in the wrestling business and everything has kind of come full circle? And I remember getting a couple of emails where people were asking, you know, who are those executives that you think changed their mind, and what was it that caused them to change their tune? And of course, the reality of the situation is it is TNT, you know, but it's really TNT in name only, as compared to the TNT of back during the time that we're talking about. I mean, most of those key Turner executives by the year 2000 were already out of the picture, if not 2000, then by 2003, even Jamie Kellner himself, for example, was no longer involved in Turner Broadcasting. I mean, Turner as a company has gone through so many changes and so many mergers and acquisitions and so many name changes. I'm not sure if you guys came across this, but late last year, there was a fairly sort of significant event in Atlanta where actually the Turner logo was taken down in favor of Warner Media, which is what they're calling the company now, which a lot of you know, I heard from a lot of longtime Turner employees who are actually quite upset by that. So, you know, I think obviously the media landscape is very different. The television landscape is very different. It's difficult to compare the two, other than the fact that yes, they are on TNT, but it's definitely not the TNT of the WCW days.
Cool.
I got to turn my mic on. You think I know what I was doing after 8 years. out of all the executives and the people that worked for Turner, was there anyone you were fond of or enjoyed talking to more than the others? And you didn't feel like they were laying it on too strong?
Yeah, so there's a guy by the name of Bill Burke, who was formerly the president of TBS, and I think he was given that of the network, I should say, TBS. He was given that responsibility at a very young age. I want to say he was maybe like 27 or 28. And they put this guy in charge of that whole TV network. And so he's still a relatively young man today. And I actually had the chance to speak to him in person, because a number of these interviews, I was actually able to either travel to someone, or they were able to come here to New York, or they happened to be in New York and we would meet up. And spent about 2.5 hours with Bill Burke, and he was you know, someone that if you wanted to know about the inner workings of Turner and Ted Turner specifically, it's really hard to find anyone better than this guy. I mean, he literally wrote Ted's most recent autobiography. You know, it's like Ted Turner with Bill Burke, but Bill Burke basically wrote it. And so to sit down with him and hear all of these stories and learn about how the company grew over time and what Ted himself was all about, his relationship to wrestling, that was just kind of like a priceless experience that, you know, when you talk to someone like that, you learn things, yes, that help you directly with what you're working on, but you also learn indirectly from them as well. And so I took a lot from that conversation. So Bill Burke of TBS, you'll see in the book, there's a lot of reference to him and a lot of very insightful quotes from him.
I can't put it over enough. The book is phenomenal. I highly recommend it, especially now in this quarantine. If you're not doing anything, I mean, you want to sit out in the sun, a nice sunny day, and read a book, The Nitro, Incredible Rise and Inevitable Collapse of Ted Turner's WCW, is the perfect book for the wrestling fan. WCWNitroBook.com is the website. At WCWNitroBook is the Twitter. Give him a follow. Guy Evans, it has been a pleasure. Before we let you go, I know you're busy moving and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. Is there anything you'd like to leave the fans with?
Well, first of all, guys, again, I want to thank you very much. And anytime you want to speak again, just please let me know. You have my number now. So let's hopefully we'll do this again. The only thing I would add to that is we actually just came out with an audio version of the book, which is available exclusively through Audible. So you can actually find that link on the Amazon page, as you talked about, or if people have the Audible app, you can just type in Nitro, WCW, whatever, and it will come up there. So, you know, you've got the hard copy of the book, the Kindle or the ebook, if you want to read it that way, and the audio book as well for people to enjoy. So, again, guys, just really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Guy, thank you. It was a pleasure. We will speak soon. Definitely when before this follow-up comes out, we'll get you back on and chat it up. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you two.
I actually may call you in an hour just to talk more.
Hey, you're more than welcome. We're all doing the same thing at the moment, right? So
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again. You have a great night, okay?
Guy, thank you as well. Be safe, brother.
You too. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Guy Evans, Nitro Book. Again, guys, I can't put it over enough. If you're looking for something to read, you're looking for a wrestling book, Nitro, The Incredible Rise and Inevitable Collapse of Ted Turner's WCW. And it's not like it's this fancy business jargon. If an idiot like me can understand it, you definitely can understand what was going on.
It's an idiot. Trust us.
Oh, definitely. Oh. I mean, if you're a fan of this show, you know I'm an idiot. So
Matt, can I tell you how close I was to telling him the story of Legends of the Ring with Bischoff?
I
was biting my tongue so much. I was like, I want to tell you that Matt's actually a really good friend of Eric Bischoff. They shared a beer and talked about the Wonder Years.
I also harassed the shit out of Eric Bischoff to call in for Tony's birthday. Don't forget that.
That's true.
Sang happy birthday to me.
And then I ruined it by telling that same story.
Oh my God, Guy Evans, what a great interview. A lot of fun there.
Matt.
Hey, Tony, I was going to do it. I was going to segue, but you opened your stupid fat head.
Well, I'm just saying that you love putting over the book so much. I think it's time to put over our Patreon producers. What do you think, fella?
I don't know about putting them over as much as I put the book over.
Well, they put us over every week, every month, so we got to put them over, right?
I guess so. Right?
They paid for this beautiful setup back here.
Oh, God, I hope they can't see the garbage you're buying.
What is it? Kevin, what's so bad?
Kevin looks like one of these old ladies that does like the online garage sales. That's what it was.
That fucking Goldberg. I mean, I own them all.
That was a gift. I didn't buy that. Didn't you give that to me?
I haven't the slightest. Dude, I don't remember. I give you guys both wrestling related shit all the time. I like the Honky Tonk Retro. I get the Myers thing. Boss Man, Rude. Is that Warrior in the front too?
Warrior, Savage, Brett,
and a big old
Brutus.
I like the big Sting. That Zack Ryder figure is garbage, though. You might as well just throw that in the fucking street and run it over with
your
car.
Well, I have six of them, so I had to put one of them
on. Let me guess, you hit a fucking Five Below.
No, I bought one. Tony gave me one.
And then Zack Ryder sent you four just for being in their fucking Facebook group.
No, Zack, listen, me and Zack Ryder aren't close, all right?
Hey. Zack Ryder doesn't exist anymore. It's Matt Cardona. Come on, now.
Oh, me and Matt Cardona are best friends.
Oh, see, are you? He seems like a real dick. But that's neither here nor there. We want to thank those that support the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. You can do so as well if you head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For $1 a month, we will mention you as a producer. $3 a month gets you our watch along. And our brand new watch along just dropped. It's our very own Shining Wizards Kevin, who, look, to everybody's surprise, if you listen to the show, you know he's technologically retarded. But he did a watch along. And he told us it was the wrong pay-per-view. Thank God Tony does his due diligence. He's not listening. So.
He dropped the pay-per-view. He dropped his phone during the interview.
I heard wrong pay-per-view, and I can only imagine you talking about my watch-along.
Dude, nothing beat your face when you dropped your phone.
Wait, so did I, Tony, did you listen back to the watch-along?
I heard the beginning and I was like, wait a minute, it's Slamboree, it's not Spring Stampede.
Do I actually say Spring Stampede in the watch along?
Well, if you wanna listen, $3 a month gets you a mention on the show, it gets you a code for our Pro Wrestling Tee store, and it gets you a watch along. And if you're lucky, Kevin will give you that Ric Flair right there for the next person that signs up on our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast.
Look at that beauty.
Yeah.
So, of course, Kathy Homer, Queen of the Shining Wizards. Mr. Manny Crazzo, the King of the Shining Wizards. D-Generation Y, Danny and Anthony Rusinello. Kate the Great Henzer over on OnDeckIC.com. And Ryan Arthur over at Elementary.com, a local brewing company here. They're doing pickup in the local Hackensack area. So if you're in that area, check out Elementary.com. Sean Toe. Mr. Brett Simonello, Mr. Sean Calejo, which, if you're in our Discord, it's awesome. You get to talk to Kratzo. He's in Austria. Fucking Sean Calejo's in Australia.
Hello.
And they're all in our Discord. So keep an eye out for the Discord link. We're putting it up on Facebook and Twitter all the time. It's a great time just to come in there and chat with us about wrestling, about live PD, about anything. Yeah. Dude, what did you say?
A repeat this week. Did you say come? I was very upset about that, but I can imagine why.
What was a repeat this week?
Live PD.
Oh, I didn't see. What did I do?
I can gather why I think it was a repeat.
What did I do for? Oh, yeah, I can gather why, too. Good call, Kev. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KGG. Mr. Matt Mellinger, Christine Friesendorf, Mark Parloni, happy belated birthday to Mark.
Happy birthday, Mark!
We do this every week. It was his birthday 6 months ago.
Yes, we are, Kevin, because when all you right. send us a message and tell us to wish you a happy birthday, we're going to do it every week. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinkmore, very active in the Discord, by the way, and very knowledgeable. I hate to put him over, but I will. Jay Kopp, the big cop of pump, who was just on the hot mic earlier tonight watching us from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Him and old Watermelon Head are... they're doing the show or some shit. He just fucking moved again. I don't know. He put some fucking video on. Fucking...
Are they roommates now?
Oh, God. I hope not.
Imagine that.
Oh, God. It'd be like fucking Blimpy and Popeye living together.
I just picture them being like Bert and Ernie.
Yeah. It'd be like a hot dog and a hamburger living together. God, he's going to be so miserable Thursday night. Jay Kopp, I just said that. Fucking fuck me.
That's right.
Thomas Kopp's the Mott Spock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love the Mott Spock.
Who's still he's also technically retarded, and he can't figure out how to get into the Discord. It's not very hard. Michael Hammond, David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hauserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Check it out. Tony actually shaves his back to the music from this website. So if you want to manscape, this is the perfect music for manscaping.
Freshly shorn this past weekend. Listen to that music, by the way.
Work on that fucking widow's peak there, cousin. And then...
Kalo.
You didn't do Kalo, did you? Last but certainly not least, also in the Discord, I enjoyed chatting with him quite a bit, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
Missed that spot last week. Where were you when I was doing that?
My phone died.
Oh, I actually got to do the Lives Are Gonna Be spot. It was kind of fun.
How'd you
I
feel?
Know how you enjoy it.
A lot of gimmick stealing this week on the Shining Wizards shows.
Ugh. Who else stole a gimmick tonight?
No, not tonight. On the Wednesday night show, they stole Danny's gimmick where he plugs Pizza Vita. Danny very upset about it. The voice of reason not happy with it.
Who stole it?
Ryan Van Dam stole
it. Oh, got a gimmick now?
When you fall asleep on the show and you're fucked up as fuck, yes, you get a new gimmick.
I didn't listen. Who fell asleep?
Who? You fucker.
What?
Who fell asleep?
You spoiled hour two for me.
Who fell asleep?
Ryan was very close to falling asleep. Very close. I don't know what.
Could do the show till 2 a.m.
No, man, he like got up when we started the show and he came back and he was like,
you know what it is,
it's, hello,
Kate talks too much. That's what
it's me. I work at a brewing company called Elementary.
Yeah, I think he had a couple too many daddy hello. Sodas and then he was fucking puffing that ganja. Homeboy was fucking out on his feet.
Did we get the wrong people involved in our Thursday night special? I don't know.
It's not Thursday. It's Wednesday. What's wrong with you?
Oh, no, Thursday.
He's talking about,
Thursday.
He's doing a teaser.
Oh, a teaser.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess I will.
No. Before we do that, let's talk about business that we have ongoing.
Oh.
We're down to the final four in the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time tournament.
Waka wa.
Fucking A, dude.
All right, boys.
All right.
I'm gonna pop up the image for the benefit of those who are watching along on the hot mic. That's the wrong image. There you go. That's the tournament as it stands right now. This past week, we had four great matches. I can fucking read them. The Honky Tonk Man took on Chris Benoit, the fucking one of the dark horses in the tournament. Number one seed going against the number 10 in the Stone Cold region. We also had Randy Macho Man Savage take on Bret the Hitman Hart, number one and number two in the Marvelous Mark region. And over in the Dean Douglas side of things, we had number one Mr. Perfect taking on the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, number one versus number two. And also another number one versus number two in the Broski region, number one seed Chris Jericho taking on number two Razor Ramon. What kind of results did we have on this tournament on the Elite Eight, boys?
Nothing too close when it comes to actual final numbers. I'll go right down to it. Honky Tonk Man versus Chris Benoit. Honky Tonk Man got 61 votes on Facebook, 51 votes on Twitter, totaling of 112 votes. Chris Benoit got 25 on Facebook, 42 on Twitter, totaling 67. So final percentages see the Honky Tonk Man getting the win. 63% of the total votes against 37%. Honky Tonk Man.
Thank God. That
advances
Thank
to
God.
The final four.
Thank God.
He had look. The Honky Tonk Man had a rough road to the final to get to where he is now.
He sure did. He right. really did.
There were a lot of weight.
And you never know which way people are going to go. Like some people might not care for the Honky Tonk Man. So it's to me, he was going to end up at this point if I had my druthers, and he is. So all right, you know what? I'll save all the stats. I'll just tell you who won.
Give us the percentages.
What's that?
Hit us with percentages.
That's fine. Macho Man versus Bret Hart. Macho Man is moving on.
You motherfucker.
To the final four. With preliminary numbers, the polls are showing at 57% to 43%.
That's a solid win.
They're all pretty solid. No, it's very upsetting. None of these are really close. All right, so we go down. This one I thought was going to be a lot closer. Mr. Perfect versus Shawn Michaels. Mr. Perfect won 60% to 40%.
That's a pretty decisive victory there.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at Shawn Michaels' history of work, it was marred by him being injured and him forfeiting the title. And I mean,
did he ever forfeit the Intercontinental title?
I feel like he forfeited every fucking title because he was a piece of shit.
He got stripped of the Intercontinental title, and then Razor Ramon got it leading up to the ladder match, which Razor Ramon
Right, because then Shawn came back with a fake title, and they had to do a ladder match at WrestleMania 10. Shawn Michaels is still a big piece of shit, so I'm glad he's gone.
Well, Bret's gone.
All right, so this is a...
You watch your fucking mouth about Bret Hart, Tony. I'll fucking come through his computer and smack you.
Come on.
This final result I'm very happy about, but I was actually very surprised at how much this person ran away with it. And I was pushing him to be a number one seed. Very happy. Chris Jericho defeats Razor Ramon. Chris Jericho with 63% of the total votes against Razor Ramon's 37% of the total votes.
But the funny thing about that, I know it's a little more lopsided than most, but didn't Razor Ramon pull off the win on Facebook? I thought that
Razor Ramon had 53 votes on Facebook to Chris Jericho's 51.
Yeah, so he won by like by mere percentage points. I think it was like 51-49%. But then Chris Jericho just blew out of the water on Twitter. Just completely blew him out of the water.
It's very upsetting. Very upsetting.
So this leads to our final four right now. Let me see what we got here. We've got the Honky Tonky Man taking on Randy Savage on one side of the bracket. And on the right side, Mr. Perfect taking on Chris Jericho. Guys, this is the first time I think ever we've got four number one seeds making it to the final four. That's pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, I mean, they're a number one seed for a reason. We found them to be the four best Intercontinental Champions. So, yeah, we're there now.
If you had to go for your final two right now, who are you thinking?
Savage Jericho.
You know, I kind of want Honky Tonk Man in there, but I have a feeling that the fans are going to vote that way as well. I also think Savage Jericho.
I think we're getting a Honky Tonk Man Jericho final, and I think Jericho takes it all.
Kevin going out there. I like it.
I think people know enough to know that the Honky Tonk Man had the longest reign ever, and they won't be fooled by the name Macho Man.
Well, you'll see. Look, you look at the left side of the bracket. The Honky Tonk Man and Savage are pretty even. They each only had one reign as an IC champion. It was for a long time. Obviously, Honky Tonk Man, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. On the flip side, Jericho, 9-time IC champion. That's a bit much, if you ask me. And then Perfect, you know, for anyone.
What's a bit much?
9 times as the Intercontinental Champion.
So that devalues it, or does that make it?
Let me handle this.
So Chris Jericho is a former 9-time Intercontinental Champion, right, Kev?
That's right.
And that means he lost those titles how many times?
I think 10.
You know what that makes him, Kevin?
What's that?
A fucking loser.
Loser. Stop my gun.
I think I think for the time and the era that Jericho was the IC champion, I guess it makes, like, you know, it sounds nice when you say 9-time Intercontinental Champion, but when you really break it down, you know, like, the same thing with The Miz. He was, like, what, 8-time Intercontinental Champion? Some of his reigns were a day. You know, like, I don't know. I think when I think Chris Jericho, I think, like, first undisputed heavyweight champion. Like,
right.
I don't know. He's, and again, I didn't watch during this era, so I can completely I don't have a problem with him being in the final four. He was a one for a reason. I don't know. I just don't see him. Like, when you say, like, the same, like, my problem with Benoit when he got to the Elite Eight. Like, when I think Chris Benoit, I don't think Intercontinental Champion.
Nope. Can I give you stats?
Yeah. You're so excited. Go
for it, brother.
Chris Jericho, number of reigns, 9. Combined days, 318. He is number 16 on the all-time list for combined days with numerous reigns, mind you. Let's see. Shawn Michaels, number 9, tied with Mr. Perfect. They both had 406 combined days. Shawn Michaels did it in 3 reigns. Mr. Perfect did it in 2. Number 4 overall with only 1 reign, coming in at 454 days, it's the Honky Tonky Man. Now, let's do a little bit of trivia. 3 people have longer combined reigns than the Honky Tonk Man. Can you name all 3 people
that have combined reigns more than Honky Tonk?
Combined reigns more than 454 days.
Is it someone that we already mentioned?
All 3 of these gentlemen were in the tournament already.
The Miz?
The Miz is number 2. He's had 8 combined reigns for 597 total days. There's 2 more.
I'll go Pedro.
Pedro is number one. Two reigns combined 619 days. You're missing number three.
I think I'm in the same era with Pedro, and I'll say Don Morocco.
Bing, bing, bing. Kevin is 3 for 3. Two reigns totaling 541 days. Very good job, Kev. Out fucking standing.
The honka tonka man.
Kevin
fucking man.
He nailed it, dude.
He did. I knew him because I did all the research, so. Oh.
Well, I did too, but there's no chance I would have known that other than from like weeks ago. I didn't do it like recently. I did it when we compiled the list.
Right.
And you guys know me. I don't remember anything. So this was, I'm very impressed with what I just pulled off.
So your final two matches will drop Wednesday, June 3rd at noon on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to vote facebook.com/wizardspodcast on Twitter at wizardspodcast. What is this? Sorry.
Uh-oh. We got hot news coming across the wire.
No, you're good. Cause I updated my stupid computer before. I'm getting all these notifications right now that I don't need. But yeah, those things will drop on Facebook and Twitter Wednesday, and then we will get our final two, our championship match next week to decide who the greatest Intercontinental Champion is in the Shining Wizards Intercontinental Championship tournament. I will not lie, I've kind of been punched out the last week, so I hope this continues to go well. I think it has so far.
We got other stuff.
We'll get it back. The final four, we'll get it back, and the championship.
These are very
record-breaking votes. I'm predicting
these are solid matchups. I think that this is going to be closer than what we're thinking. I mean, I'm almost positive that's going to be the results. What I was thinking, but I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully nobody starts running away with one of these things out of the gate, because that, you know, kind of sucks when one of them is running up to score and then everybody's kind of like, you know.
No, I hear you.
It is.
So let me ask you guys, since we don't really get to talk AEW because I do the show Wednesday night, how do you guys feel about the AEW product? Did you watch the post Double or Nothing show on Wednesday night?
I did. I watched it twice, actually.
Well, good, because I only watched about half of it. I only got about an hour into it.
Shut the fuck up, Tony.
What? Fuck off, dude. You asked me a question.
I'm tired of you and your fucking negative attitude in the Discord.
Did you watch Carnyland episode 2?
I did. Don't shake your head no, because I did.
Oh. I can shake my head no.
I watched Carnyland, and then I fell asleep halfway through AEW Dark Tuesday night. So,
okay.
But yeah, okay, let's start. You start with Carnyland since it was last week. I felt like the big, oh, William P. Corgan or whatever fucking fancy name he's got now. Like, he's got a big announcement. We're going to put the big clock up there. Like, I didn't think it was anything like.
They're trying to do some silly stuff, dude. Like Zicky Dice interrupting the promo class.
All that stuff is great, but don't fucking tease me with a big announcement and you're just going to come with a fucking fart in church.
Really?
Did I tease you, Matt?
I haven't watched all of the podcast yet either, but I know. Joe Galli's shtick was that he interviewed Homicide and Eddie Kingston, but it's a Skype ordeal, so it's kind of like, you know, quarantine rules and whatnot. I know Eli Drake. I caught a bit of his last week. Very entertaining stuff, dude. I've said it a million times. There's no reason that guy shouldn't be a fucking world champion somewhere. No reason whatsoever.
Tell that to COVID-19, buddy.
Huh?
Tell that to COVID-19.
I get it.
Tell that to Brian Cage.
He's a fucking specimen. Oh, well, you know, if it wasn't for fucking the quarantine, maybe he could have showed up at Double or Nothing. He might show up and challenge Cody for the TNT championship. Kevin, I was defending those ratings for fucking how long, and I'm on board with Kevin now. He fucking turned on me. Those ratings don't mean shit in AEW. Don't mean shit.
Why?
He goes on fucking Twitter and goes, anybody can come in and just challenge me for this belt. You know what that fucking tells number 1 through 5? Wah, wah. Tough luck, suckers.
You wanna be ranked 1 through 5 and challenge for the secondary belt? What are you, a fucking loser?
Yeah, the rankings are for the world title, I thought.
No, because both of those guys are not on the rankings. They're like above the rankings.
Because they're champions.
So I was under the impression that the TNT championship is not only void from being on the rankings, it precludes the rankings for the world title, right?
No. See, I would agree with you, except for the fact that Tony Khan said, no, he's going to be above the ratings just like the world champion is. So you're going to see world champion, TNT champion, and then the run through five.
Right.
Yeah. So don't you want to be a fucking ranked contender to get a title shot? Not
no. What? Oh. Wait. I don't. So you watch sports. Right?
Yeah, I watch sports.
Okay. So the Patriots play in the AFC East, and for the last 20 years, they've gotten to play the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills. No. Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Be careful, Matt. Be careful.
They get to play. They get to play those teams six times a year. So they're not in the North. They're not playing the Steelers and the Ravens, the tough teams. They're not in the West. No, they play the fucking jobbers to get to the playoffs.
Oh, can I?
You picked the worst. You picked the worst division in football to make this.
Yeah, but you're also making a fucking terrible analogy, because if the Patriots lose the first game of the season, they're not losing the Super Bowl. Come on, dude, it's not the same.
You're just so anybody who's ranked. You should just be giving away title shots on TV like they did on Nitro and Raw during the Attitude Era.
No, but why are you letting some fucking rum-dum come out of nowhere and fucking challenge for this?
Nobody's game? Come out of anywhere!
Cody says, come on in! Bring everybody! Challenge me!
Cody says the sky's fucking red. Guess what? It's not.
Well, then Cody's full of shit and he shouldn't be champion. It's a bad
fucking... He cut a fucking promo. He cut a promo Wednesday night and he said, yeah, it's an open challenge, but there's not going to be a fucking influx of people that show up in Jacksonville.
How do you know?
Because there's a fucking pandemic.
Come on, dude. It's AEW. They'd be crazy enough to do it. It's not right. See? Brian Myers is going to show up on fucking AEW.
Brian Myers got a fucking daughter and one on the way. He ain't fucking going to Jacksonville to do the job for fucking Cody.
You said anything about doing that?
He's right. He's going to Alaska, though, but he's not going to go to Jacksonville.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't see how the rankings.
I will apologize to Matt about one thing. I like Brian Cage.
Brian, look.
I've turned it. He turned on me, Tony.
Shame on you, Kevin.
Why?
Because he's not a ranked contender. He just waltzes in and goes, "Oh, I'm gonna fucking get the big chip, and I'm gonna fucking carry Darby Allin up."
Okay, so. What's the difference between Brian Cage winning the chip and Otis winning Money in the Bank?
Otis is an idiot.
That's your argument? Bank? Otis is an idiot? He's got the fucking briefcase he can cash in for the world championship.
When does that ever happen? When? And it doesn't. You know why it makes better sense for Otis? Because WWE doesn't come at you every week and go, here's your top five guys that are going to challenge for the title.
Nobody says anything about challenging for the title.
He's got the fucking money in the bank. He's the challenger whenever he
AEW's never said these are the top five rankings and this is who challenges for the title. The number one ranked person will eventually get a title shot. You're not going to give that away every Wednesday night. Who cares? If MJF is one now and MJF is ranked number one in August, you want him to fucking wrestle Moxley at Fighter Fest?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he won the fucking number one contendership.
How about you let him wrestle Moxley at All Out, the bigger show?
All right.
What?
Matt, you turned on me.
I don't understand the terminology, the turning on people. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
It's awesome. It's awesome unless you turn on them, and then it's bad.
Because you're right. I don't like the rankings. I hate the ratings. But just because you're number one doesn't necessarily mean that you're facing the champion while he's the champion. You could face the champion no matter who it is, like whenever like you want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so say like MJF is number one, but say Moxley loses to Brian Cage. MJF could feasibly fight Brian Cage.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be. But now I also understand what Tony's saying. Why is a number three person getting a shot?
He's not even right.
But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily.
You can make an argument that a guy's number three, so the champ's going to give him a shot because he's a ranked contender. You know, Mike Tyson didn't always defend the titles against the number one guy in every
division.
You know, but you've got to be ranked. Like fucking Terry Funk had to suffocate fucking Ricky Steamboat to get a title shot on Ric Flair. Remember he challenged Flair?
Yeah.
Flair's like, not a contender. Get the fuck out of here.
But don't
I don't remember that.
Brian Cage won the chip. The chip entitles him to the match. Ah. It's the same. So Hulk. No, because your theory doesn't make any sense. Because you're gonna
what
say
what are you talking about?
So that doesn't make sense. But Otis won Money in the Bank, so it's okay for him to be to go after the world title.
Yes, because there's no ranking.
He doesn't go like these are your number one guys. They fucking do whatever they want.
Nobody's saying anyone's a number one guy. The rankings add more to the story. If a four beats a two, then he moves up in the rankings. It makes a match that doesn't mean anything mean something. When Kip Sabin and Jimmy Havoc beat SCU, and now they get a title shot next week, people, why are they getting a title shot? I thought best friends were the number one contenders. Well, guess what? The tag champs have been off TV since fucking Revolution. So you're not going to put the best friends against Kenny Omega and Adam Page as the first match that they have since February. Let's build a story. Tell me a story.
If they're ranked teams, I don't have a problem with it. I got a problem with some fucking guy just showing up and winning a fucking title match. It goes.
That's the purpose of the match, though.
Don't get it.
There was nobody in.
I have rankings. Why have rankings then? If you could circumvent the
because
rankings.
Because it's pro wrestling. You could do whatever you want. There's stories they're telling.
Well, then I can complain about everything going on with the rankings.
That's fine. But there's stories they're telling. That's why you suck shit at the picks, because you don't watch AEW.
Who's in first place?
By one game, you fuckface.
Yeah, 1-1 right there.
Yeah. And you're gonna
lose NXT picks. I'm fucking
and you're losing it. If anything, Kevin's taking NXT this weekend.
No, he's not.
Kevin, yeah, but I don't like doing the picks before the last show.
All right, well, you know, you can wait until Thursday or Saturday.
Beautiful.
This show's on Sunday. I thought it was on Saturday, and I was like, "Fuck," because I got to wake up early for the farmers market. But this show's on Sunday, so I'm excited for that. I'll watch a takeover. They always do a good job on the takeover. You know what? Hey, dickhead, we pick Backlash next week, too.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. I can't wait. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take those blister burns. I'm going to stick them in my anus.
Please do so.
You know what's getting closer to the end of the show when we all act ridiculous.
It's every fucking show. Shut your mouth. Early signs say that between 100,000 and 110,000 purchases of Double or Nothing happened last weekend.
Yeah, to watch some no-name guy get a fucking title.
He's
match.
Not a fuck. Oh my god, I'm.
Yeah. You lost me, Tony.
You know what? He would kill. He would kill Tito Santana.
You watch your mouth.
He
about
would kill Tito Santana.
Uncrowned greatest champion ever.
He would wear his face like a mask.
Tony wants Tito Santana to come back and be the coach of Sammy Guevara.
That would be awesome.
You know who won't be coming back to AEW? Clutch Adams.
Oh, is he the guy that said the F word?
Yeah, he is. You can't be tweeting that. Can't be putting that shit out on the internet. It'll come back to get you.
What happened? I missed this.
So
he used to work for WrestlePro, right?
I'm sorry?
He used to work for WrestlePro, didn't he?
Clutch Adams? I don't know. Did he?
Lee, I don't know.
I've never heard the name Clutch Adams.
Clutch Adams.
I'm trying to get Kevin fired up, but it's not going to work because he doesn't know who it is.
Clutch Adams is a student of QT Marshall's, and he's been working the AEW Dark matches.
Well, he worked one match.
No, he's been on a couple times.
Really?
On Dark, yes.
I could tell you when he won't be on tomorrow.
You are absolutely right. Somebody went back and found a bunch of stuff he said about Tony Romo, where he was throwing the F word around, and it wasn't fuck. They were like, hey, Cody, I thought you were against all this. And Cody was like, yep, he won't be on Dark tomorrow night now. So, I mean, practice what you preach. They pulled him right off there. And he went on to put out an apology.
He's done, dude. It's over. It's over, Johnny. Get yourself a bag and go fucking move in next to Rude Boy Riley because you ain't fucking working anymore.
Yeah, you can't be, it's fucking out there in the world, bro. You can't be doing shit like that, especially if you're a pro wrestler. And you know what else?
What?
Let me tell you, if you're a fucking wrestling promoter, and you're telling these kids that they can't fucking work because of their feelings toward what's going on in the world right now. You don't even you don't even belong in the get the fuck out. You're a fucking piece of shit. You're like that fucking Joe Bellini from Warriors of Wrestling. Get the fuck out. We don't need you.
Did something happen with Joe that I forgot?
He's
about?
Like a fucking blatant racist all over like Facebook and Twitter.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Hmm. Our friend Brian Idol is a big fan of his.
Well, you don't like Brian Idol anymore?
No. Brian Idol doesn't like Joe Bellini or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, they got heat. Okay.
I mean, he calls him out for being a racist, as does Bobby Wayward. So,
yes.
Thumbs up to that. Don't be a piece of shit. It's fucking pro wrestling. Fucking jerk-offs.
Bobby Wayward is my favorite person.
Really? Ever? I'm sure David Starr would say about that.
And Zack Ryder.
I like them both.
And Zack and Mark and Matt Cardona and
Brian Brian Myers.
Jamie Silverberg, you know.
Did we like the Revival showing up on AEW?
Yeah, they didn't crash in any fucking barricades, so that's a plus. Now, are they going to get a title shot, or they got to actually earn their way into the rankings?
They don't need...
Why you get so angry, bro? Relax. Take a breath.
No, I hate you.
Red. You okay?
Am I?
You know the beverage? I don't know. You look shiny. You're looking shinier than I am.
Maybe another beverage. I don't know. We'll see. Your boy Drew Gulak is back with the WWE, so that didn't last long.
Yeah, good for him, but unfortunately, put out a fucking RIP for his boy Danny Havoc.
Oh, what God, way to fucking bring down the show, dude.
We gotta mention it. I mean, come on.
I was gonna be mentioned. You just mentioned it toward the end. How am I supposed to come back up now?
Because we're gonna tell everybody what's going on Thursday if they want to fucking get in on the action.
Well, how about we can continue what we were talking about, and that being Drew Gulak.
Gulak.
We had a fucking cavalcade of friends of the show have an awesome week in the WWE universe, Tony.
Who else?
Apollo Crews.
Oh, he's your new U.S. champion.
Yeah,
you
buddy. And your girl Nia Jax managed to become the number one contender and get a move banned all in the same week because she's a fucking reckless monster.
She fucking busted open Carrie Sane, didn't she?
Yeah. She buckle bombed the shit out of her, apparently.
So they didn't ban the buckle bomb when Sting had his fucking career ended, but, you know.
Right.
Snacks does a move, and, you know.
Are you going to her aid now?
What do you mean?
Are you sticking up? Are you sticking up for Nia? Are you turning on Nia?
No, she fucking turned me over a long time ago.
Yeah, I bet you she did. She stuck it right in your ass, didn't she?
My pooper.
Two in the...
Oh, now you know why it tumbles out. Bringing it back from the beginning of the show. Come on, dude, that's a story. You want stories, don't you?
About your shit that's tumbling out your butthole?
Yeah, there you go.
No, I don't want anything to do with that.
When I run.
Sounds like you should see a doctor, friendo.
Can't. Quarantine. Nobody wants to check it.
Friendo the show.
Friendo Joe Boo.
Oh boo.
No, why not ban the move when it actually fucking hurt somebody earlier and wait a couple more years before they ban it? You know what I'm saying? Like that's the only reason.
Tony, you can't do that because you know, the Muscle Buster hurt Tyson Kidd and ended his career. Didn't stop him from doing the Muscle Buster.
Look what happened. That now he's doing commentary. They fired Jerry Lawler for him.
Well, that's a whole different story, but I'm saying if it happened again, they might say, yeah.
Wait, did they fire Jerry Lawler?
Oh, I don't know if they fired him, but he's definitely replaced by Samoa Joe right now. Because
he's old. He can't be there.
Puppies.
No one else is upset by this, that Samoa Joe is being, I mean, I don't know if he's healthy or hurt or whatever, but that he's a commentator. This can't be a real thing forever, can it?
If he's doing a good job, why not? A lot of the guys wind up going into commentary. And if he's doing a good job and he's actually good at it, not like fucking Matt's boy.
But is Samoa Joe ready for that?
Wait. Who's my boy?
Your boy, fucking Tattoo Neck over there. Fucking, what's his name?
Cody?
Matt, no, yes.
Oh, Corey Graves.
Matt's favorite commentator.
Corey Rhodes.
Up there with fucking Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon.
Never in a million years.
Cody Graves,
there you go.
Maybe they're just going to work him into an angle. They got to do something after Braun and his handicap championship match because that's cool.
They already did that, though.
Now, was Samoa Joe hurt? I thought he was popped for a suspension.
Yeah, he was suspended for something.
Oh, he got hurt filming that commercial, didn't he?
I think he got hurt, then he got suspended.
Some shit like that. Yeah, they probably gave him pills to help numb the pain of his injuries, and then they fucking popped him.
Well, they did the whole storyline. He was the commentator first, and then they Kevin Owens and him and were going against the disciple of the new church. So like he was Seth Rollins stuff.
Oh, that shit.
Yeah, so like he was already on commentary, and they brought him into an angle for it. And so I guess they're gonna do it again at some point.
I guess Matt went to get a beverage because the fucking Skype logo is like over my head right now. I have to.
I think we took the conversation a different way. So he's like, "I'll go somewhere else now."
He bailed.
It's fine.
Oh well, fuck him.
No, don't not that at all. Not even remotely that.
Fuck him.
Because I'm just like, I don't want this to be Samoa Joe's role unless he wants it to be his role. I want Samoa Joe to still wrestle every week, either whether it's WWE or wherever. I just don't want to see him despite the fact that he's very, very good, I don't want to see him be a commentator. That's just selfish, Kevin.
Yeah, you are pretty selfish, aren't you?
I am. I am very selfish.
All right. It's all right to be that way. You're corporate Kevin. You're used to having the finer things in life.
That's right. It's a good point. Now I'm furloughed Kevin.
Furloughed Kevin. Did you get your check from the government yet, furloughed Kevin?
I'm still, listen, they're still taking care of me for the 90-day, no compete.
That was nice.
Yeah, and hopefully they bring me back in July, and we'll work things out.
One would only hope.
It's not looking good. Consider myself a free agent.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Hey,
consider myself a free agent, and we have completely lost direction. We completely lost direction of the show without Matt.
No, it's fine. Was there any other news and notes? Because I kind of want to spill the beans on what we're doing Thursday, but with Dickhead not here, I kind of feel like maybe he's going to miss out.
I mean, we can tie the bow on AEW with the Tyson stuff.
Oh, that's the part I didn't see because I didn't watch the second half. Fill us in, please.
They just basically did a reenaction of the Tyson Austin stuff, and Matt will probably want to chime in on this. They did the reenaction of Jericho getting a fight with Tyson, and everyone came out, like all the locker room and Cody Rhodes. And
Tyson's fighting Jericho now?
I don't hate it.
Doesn't Tyson want to get back in the boxing ring, though? Wasn't that like his big push?
Well, why not cross-promote?
I don't know. It's just kind of weird. And like, why would you want to like risk an unnecessary injury? Because, you know,
he's not going to wrestle, I don't think.
So they're going to have a boxing match, like a work match or something?
Why not? Matt could chime in on this probably even more so about the Tyson Jericho finish to AEW, which is something that we definitely had to touch on.
Yeah. Jericho said when he talked with ESPN's Mark Rimaldi, the idea is to do something more. That's the thought process. I think both parties, what that is at this moment, we're thinking and discussing. Chris Jericho versus Tyson in a wrestling match, in a street fight, and a boxing match would be big. I'm not Mike Tyson. I'm not 1/100th or 1/1000th of Mike Tyson. But I've been
Yeah, you just kind of sounded like him there, though.
But I've been boxing for 6 years. I know how to box. I could win fights on my own against people of my skill level. So if that's what he wants to do, that works too. Whatever he feels comfortable with, I can make it good. That's what I do for a living. That's what I've been doing for 30 years.
Who said that?
Jericho.
Oh.
It'll be. I talked about it on the Dynamite post show. I was surprised to see that this is the direction that they're going. With Jericho and the Inner Circle.
Happened?
I thought I saw something behind me.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just another layer to the story. I don't think the stuff with the Elite is done. I think we're going to see some progression in that. They didn't announce when Fyter Fest was, so I'm sure this is going to be held off until All Out or All In or whatever.
And Jungle Boy won the Battle Royal, correct?
He did.
And so now Jungle Boy will fight Cody this Wednesday on Dynamite.
Yes, Cody against Jungle Boy, Jericho against Colt Cabana, and Omega and Paige defending the titles against Sabian and Jimmy Havoc.
Can I just pop for Jericho versus Colt Cabana?
Absolutely.
Oh my God! Has that? That's never. There's no way. There's no way that match has ever happened before.
I don't think so.
unless he was like Scotty Goldman, but I don't even think. Wow. That's like a little comedy marks dream match.
Yeah, so that should be exciting. Dark is loaded for them. They got a ton of under guys on there, so that'll be good. There's an awesome Tully Blanchard promo that he did where he's fucking screaming at Sean Spears, telling him, did you think my legacy was to put your face on your junk? He's like, I'm embarrassed. I'm like, I held up the four fingers for greatness. What you did was a fucking embarrassment. Like, it's fucking vintage Tully Blanchard. It's an unbelievable promo. It's definitely worth finding.
That's all. Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Well, Sean Spears should have won that fucking match against Dustin.
Oh, should he have?
Yeah, he should have. Go through that shame.
There are a couple call-ups to the WWE main roster. They announced Friday night Matt Riddle will be coming up to SmackDown. And it was reported by our good friend Dave Meltzer that Dominik Dijakovic will be on Raw in the near future.
Dijakovic is going to Raw?
What?
Dijakovic is going to Raw?
Yep.
Nice.
I like that call-up.
You know what? I'm okay with it. I like bringing some new blood. Let's freshen things up here. Our friend Nigel has been furloned.
Furloned? What was he, landscaped?
Maybe.
What is that, a Disney movie?
My allergies are starting to kick in. If I take a Benadryl now, I'll be asleep. So I got to fucking power through this.
Well, come on, then. Let's power through.
Take some notes.
I just said, boy.
I mean, whatever. He's out.
Hello.
We got the finals of our IC tournament and our Cruiserweight Championship, Tony. Do you know who's in the finals of the Cruiserweight Championship, Tony?
Yeah, El Hijo de Falasco and Spud Webb, or whatever his name is.
El Hijo de Furlo.
El Hijo de Fantasmo. And your boy Drake Maverick, who's fired. He's fucking fired! Why is he in the fucking thing?
Yeah, because he's fired. I don't know!
I'm already fired.
And,
I'm already fired.
Daniel Bryan. What?
Is he going to win, or is he going to do the fucking Hulk walking away music when he loses?
I hope he fucking loses.
I hope he does, too, because he's a fucking loser.
Just fucking get out of here. And then Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles is your IC title final, which will not take place at Backlash. It'll take place on a SmackDown.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Thank you. One less match to pick for that fucking nonsense.
Set your DVRs, buddy. WWE is cutting cost measures as they are.
Set your Ted DVRC.
They're giving some producers and referees a 20% pay cut because of COVID-19. And then, Tony, how do you feel about this? They announced a free tier of the WWE Network today.
Great.
Fuck it.
And it will have the brand new Raw Talk. That starts tonight, right after Monday Night Raw.
Yay.
Tony made jerk-off signs.
Oh, my.
Tony, you'll be excited to hear that Trey Miguel and Ace Austin will be battling for the number one contendership in Impact Wrestling this Tuesday night to see who faces Tessa.
I thought Tessa's under quarantine.
She's still the champion.
Gives a shit. They should be challenging Moose. Moose is the champ.
Moose is the self-proclaimed champ. It's like when Taz
Moose
is the FTW.
Champ. He's the only champion I recognize.
It's like when Taz had the FTW title. It was a made-up thing.
It's real to me, damn it.
Knock it off. Deonna Purrazzo showed up on Impact last week. There's a nice vignette for her.
Oh, great. Pazuzu. So,
Impact continues to stack their women's division. Now, if you're looking to watch Impact tomorrow night, you will get your tournament final. You will get your tag team number one contenders match. The Rascals take on TJP and Falaba.
When are those guys going to win the belts, by the way?
Kuyas.
When are they going to win the belts?
Well, hopefully they beat the Rascals tomorrow night, and then they set up for a match with the North.
Oh, God, I hope so.
The In Your House show is this weekend.
Yay!
I'll run down the card. We don't have to make our picks. But I just want to throw it out there. Adam Cole defends against Velveteen Dream. If Velveteen Dream loses, he cannot challenge for the NXT title while Adam Cole holds it.
Fuck Velveteen Dream anyway.
There's a triple threat match for the women's NXT championship. Charlotte defends against Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley.
Wonderful.
Your NXT North American Championship is on the line as Keith Lee defends against Johnny Gargano.
Oh, basking in glory.
Finn Balor, he takes on Damian Priest.
Oh, great. The eggplant against the fucking Punishment Martinez.
And Tommaso Ciampa takes on Karrion Kross.
Where is he carrying it to? Wah, wah.
Scarlett's house.
Remember that fucking awful music?
No.
So nobody that's remember
Scarlett Bordeaux's awful theme song?
From Impact?
Yeah.
The Smoke Show?
Oh, yeah. That was good. I like that.
Yeah, so that is happening. Also, there's maybe a title match between Imperium and Lorcan and Birch, but we'll find out after Wednesday night on NXT.
I'll watch them wrestle every day, twice on Tuesdays.
Nice. All Japan Pro Wrestling says the Champion Carnival tournament may still happen this year. As you may have heard in the news, Japan is starting to open up, so New Japan is exploring the possibility of running some no fan empty arena shows. If anyone has Ring of Honor, Honor Club, they are releasing 50 matches from the past every Friday onto their streaming service. So this week you got a nice four-way that Tony would be into. Mercedes Martinez against Lacey, against Daisy Hayes, against Allison Danger. The Briscoes against AJ and Matt Sydal. Nigel versus Claudio. Daniels against Roderick Strong. Samoa Joe and Brian Daniels against Kenta and Marufuji. Do Fixer against Blood Generation, which was the 2006 match of the year for the Wrestling Observer. So check that out.
I remember like it was 2006.
Stardom released a statement regarding the passing of Hana Kimura. Pretty much expressing their sorrow and just asking for this time to mourn. The rest of Terrence House Tokyo's season has been canceled following the death of Hana Kimura. We talked about Dark Side of the Ring. Game Changer will be one of the first wrestling promotions to run a show with fans on June 20th in Indiana at the White River State Park. They announced that yesterday. So they'll be doing a show in the state park in a couple weeks.
Aren't they also involved in that? Isn't there a show coming up in Atlantic City, like the drive-through show, that people pull up and park their cars and watch wrestling?
I don't know, but that's a great idea.
Well, it's associated with this guy that does comedy in the area. I think it's Game Changer. I could be wrong. Maybe ICW. Might be Dementos.
Okay.
That's what it is. It's ICW.
Yeah, because this says they're going to plan to resume shows with fans in attendance in June. So this is very exciting. And, of course, as Tony mentioned earlier, unfortunately yesterday we got the awful news that Danny Havoc passed away very young.
Did they confirm what the story was?
No, there's a lot of speculation out there. Unfortunately, he lost his wife a couple months ago, too. It's not good, no matter which way you slice it. Gone way, 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 way too soon.
Yeah.
So, as if things weren't tough enough, you know, we got the week we had last week, the wrestling community with Shad and Hannah and Larry Zonka.
You know, odd. We did a lot of the build-up for Drew Gulak's match against Danny Havoc. Remember that when Drew was, you know, we were trying to push him not to get into the hardcore wrestling, but he said he had to do it. And that was like a big story that we covered a couple years ago.
Yeah. I never met Danny Havoc, so I don't have any fun Danny Havoc interactions, but a lot of people we're friends with, spent a lot of time in the ring with him, a lot of time outside of the ring with him. So just awful, awful shit. At some point, things have to start going up, right?
You would hope.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Think it's going to start on Thursday, right?
What's happening Thursday, Tony?
Thursday, we're doing the first ever Shining Wizards Federation Draft. And it's not just the three of us. Oh, no, 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 no. We're reaching out everywhere because not only will I and Matt and Kevin be drafting a Federation, but we are also welcoming all the members of D-Generation Y. We're talking Ryan Arthur. We're talking Kate the Great. We're talking Anthony and Danny the Russinellos. And we're going to the fucking bullpen because the eighth federation to be drafting will be none other than Turnbuckle Throwback's own Watermelon Head. Phil Rea, sorry. I read that wrong. So the plan is we are going to be drafting our federations along the entire current universe of professional wrestling. So we're talking WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, All Japan, everywhere and anywhere that we can reach.
Indies, everything.
Yeah, everything. We're going to be doing a draft Thursday night. I think it's going to start. I think the show starts at 9. We're probably going to start the draft proper, maybe a little after that, maybe like 9:20, 9:30, something like that. Because it's going to be technical. We're going to still try to figure out whether we're going to do this on video or just audio, what the deal is going to be. But we will be on RantDM Radio doing the show, live audio version. So just keep your eyes peeled for that. Have you guys come up with any creative names for your federations yet?
I have not. No, I have not had any time. That will literally be when I sit down Thursday in front of the laptop. You have already ruined it for everybody because you came up with such a creative name.
I got a great name.
So I don't. You've been very excited about this.
I can't wait. I got notes for days. I got everything planned out.
Tony, my question is, can you make me a logo when I do come up with my name?
I could show you where to go for one. I could show you. Absolutely free. It'll be perfect. But any wrestler who's worth their salt in the entire wrestling universe would love to join the Titanic Wrestling Alliance by Tony or Twat.
Yep, that's what it is.
Hashtag join Twat. Hashtag be a Twat.
America's top Twat.
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah, well, work it on your own Twitter, buddy.
I'm embarrassed for what just happened the last 6 seconds.
We're gonna work on the logistics of getting a video, maybe, hopefully, but it's gonna be a lot of fun. So tune in for that and pay attention to the social medias for that. And don't forget the Degeneration Y show, the AEW after party is always on Wednesday.
When are we picking the draft order, buddy?
Are we doing that now?
We're doing that right now.
I don't know.
I'll do it right now.
Let's now you see, I had a creative way to do this, and hear me out, because Kevin was trying to like make this too simple, and I was thinking about
because,
this. Right?
First of all, because it is simple.
No, a little bit of a twist, right? A little bit of a twist.
You are the Vince Russo of this podcast. You know that.
Can you just shut up and listen? You be the Vince McMahon. I'll be the
it's
Vince.
It's not a good idea, Tony.
Shut up, Kevin. Let me explain the math. Everybody writes down a number between 1 and 8. So they're trying to pick what space they want to. Yes, you have a question already?
We're quarantined. How is this going to work?
We can do it live like this and everybody holds up their.
Oh, God. That sounds like a fucking pain in the ass already.
Just shut up.
You're fired.
You hold up, you pick a number. If no one else picks your number, that's when you get to pick in the draft. If more than one person picks a particular number, the other people get to decide who gets to pick first.
Why wouldn't anyone take the chance for the number one pick and just all guess number one?
Because then everybody's got a pick and then it's worthless.
But wouldn't you risk it for the number one pick?
No, because I know who I'm picking. I know who I'm picking. So that's why.
I know who you're picking too.
If you're going like logically. And in terms of real sports, you want to do what you can to get the number one pick. So if I'm guessing number one, and I'm always going to guess number one, no matter what. I don't care what number anyone else drafts picks. I'm always going to put number one down.
And if you and somebody else guesses number one, I'm making sure that you're not getting number one. So there you go.
We're not doing that. That's fun. That's way too much work.
I'm sure Matt already has names written down, and I'm pretty sure he's going to put it in something.
No, I don't.
We're going to do this now.
I don't, but I can.
I can do it right now. I'll do it. I got paper. I got pen. I'll do it right now.
All right, Kevin, go ahead.
You don't, Tony. You don't. You're making it like way too,
Hey, shh. I'm gonna tell you a secret. Hopefully, Kevin's not listening. Kevin was being a dick in the Discord, so I really wanted to fuck with him, and I was just coming up with awful ways to think of numbers.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
That was a legit idea you had.
No, it was a legit idea, but I only thought of it because you were being an asshole. You're like, Tony, we could just put names in that.
First of all, no, wait a second. Wait, hold on. I said that first. That was the initial idea. And then you
were kind of being a dick about it, so that's like, all right, I got to fuck with Kevin now.
No, see, you're wrong. That's not how it happened. Hold on. All right, I got Kevin, Matt, and Tony right now.
All right. Tony, do we have Kevin's writing names on paper music?
Oh, yeah, you want music?
Please, something while Kevin does this. Jazz it up for the fans.
It's time for Kevin to write pay-per-view pick. Phil.
That's not big enough for Phil.
Jesus Christ.
Kate's in this, right? KTG?
Yes, she is. You might as well just write her name on all the paper, because all she's going to do is fucking talk Thursday night.
Oh, my God.
I'll try and run her out of juice on Wednesday.
So Kate's done. Yep. Voice of Reason.
Yep, VOR. Yep, he's the man. Fuck Anthony, too. Anthony can go fuck his hand. Not you, Tony. Russinello.
Is he doing this?
He's doing it. I'm going to fucking bust his balls on every pick.
I'm going to butt fucking bust.
That's right. I'm getting kinky. This quarantine's driving me nuts.
So I got...
You should have Ryan.
Ryan.
Yep. That should be everybody,
right? You like the music,
right?
It's catchy.
So I have Ryan, Kevin, Phil. That's three. Tony, it's four. Matt, one, two, three, four, five, six. KTG, Voice of Reason. All right. Oh, you know what? I got this nice little, penguin twin.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, yes. I'm gonna put. Penguin all right, twin. So Kevin, going in.
Is this for the number one pick?
This is for the whole. I'm gonna do the whole order.
Yeah, but we're doing snake order, so number one gets to pick number 16. And
no, that snake order has nothing to do with how
you're
you
an idiot.
The...
Do you not know how snake order works? All
right, so yeah, this, one, Kevin's in.
Then you go back.
Reason,
one.
VOR. In.
He's still writing?
No, he's
Phil,
showing us.
I'm just showing them so people don't bitch about if it's like rigged or whatever. Ryan, a.k.a. Dark Helmet. In.
Nobody sees you putting them in the pot. They just see you like reaching to your ankles.
It's on my lap, you jerk.
Well, I don't see that. How do I know you're not jerking yourself off?
KTG.
Going in.
There you go. That's better.
Oh, my God. Tony, can you fucking stop?
And Russinello.
I hope he draws
TNA,
like
going,
he gets
TNA,
the shit.
Is that me?
No, you're Tony, you dingleberry.
Matt, going in.
That's me. I'm in. I hope I get the 8 pick, please.
I really don't want number
and
one.
And Tony, I want to throw this in your face. You're going in. Now,
good.
Do you want to do 10? Do you want to do 8 to 1 or 1 to 8?
No, 1 to 8. Who gets the first pick? Kevin's shaking it up. He's shaking it up hard. You hear those?
All right. Matt, Tony. Oh, my God. With the number one pick in the Shining Wizards
I swear to
fantasy
God.
Draft.
I hope it's you, Tony, you piece of shit.
He dropped it.
Now he's got
nervous.
It. He's nervous.
Tony.
Are you kidding me? No! No! Fuck all y'all.
I thought you Coach already knew. I already know who I'm picking with the number one pick.
With the number two pick.
I'm going to take so much shit for who I take as number one. Kevin,
Kate the Great. KTG.
Kate coming in at number two. Always second best, that Kate.
With the number three pick. This is fun, actually. I can do this. I'm with the Voice of Reason. I can do this all day. Shining Wizards, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin at the three spot.
Well, Kevin likes number one so much, I might have to trade him.
The number four pick. Shining Wizards, Matt.
Fuck. Oh, no. I don't like that. It is what it is, though, right?
Because going back, it's tough. The middle's
I'm
tough.
Just in the middle. I wanted eight. Damn it.
All right. What pick are we at now?
Five.
Five.
That goes to Mr. Dark Helmet.
All right.
Should we be writing these in the Discord, maybe?
I'm doing it right now, buddy.
Oh, you're the fucking best.
Thanks.
With the sixth pick.
Phil.
Phil Rea.
There you go. Look at that.
Ah, fuck us.
Wait.
With whatever pick this is.
Seven.
Oh, God. Seven. The Russinellos are back-to-back?
Anthony Russinello.
Ah, the fucking Voice of Reason gets the turn. That's what I wanted.
All right, so... There's no secret now.
I turn. Number I would have with like a six.
Voice of Reason.
I wanted that eight spot.
Thanks, Kev. You're the best.
No problem. This penguin tin literally laying right at my feet.
Excellent. Well, that's taking place Thursday night, rantyandradio.com, shiningwizards.com. Of course, if you miss our live feed, you can always listen to the podcast.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Exactly.
Wait, we got our closing music. Wait.
And oh, write dude. A review, too. Leave a review, because I didn't realize how important that is. It's pretty important.
I just love this music.
We are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast every Monday night on the rantrantemradio.com. Listen to us live or in podcast forums, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Play.
Audio Boom.
Audio Boom. Anywhere you listen to a podcast, you can listen to the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. I know you're not driving to work, you're not sitting in the office, dicking off, listening to the podcast, but if you can find time to check us out and listen, we'd appreciate it. As Kevin said, please leave a review wherever you listen to our podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Wizards Podcast, patreon.com/Wizards Podcast, and ProWrestlingTees /Shining Wizards to get all of your Shining Wizards merchandise. We'll be back next week with another fun-filled show talking wrestling, the finals of the Intercontinental Championship match, In Your House, how we did at the picks, and the show itself. And plus we'll have some Backlash preview next week, AEW, more Carnyland. Did you talk MLW at all, Tony?
No, we didn't. They actually featured Loki this week on the anthology. Good stuff. It was his match against Homicide from way back in the day. And they also showed his title match against Shane Strickland. Shane was the champion going into that match from 2018. Loki was with Selena De La Renta at that point. I would assume that was Promociones Prado, but I'm not exactly sure. It might have just been him and her at that point. But anyway, there was a whole lot of weird shit with Gary Hart with the whole Homicide and Loki thing, where they actually beat up Court Bauer after the match. Like, I don't know. I couldn't understand the thing they were saying on the microphones. Not the greatest, but the matches were fine. Satoshi Kojima this week?
Kojima.
That's it. Yes. So another great anthology turn back. We're actually going to get to see some people that were building up MLW. I think first ever MLW champion, maybe?
Yes, Kojima right is the first ever MLW champion.
And then they had, like, the little shits at the end where, you know, Contra attacked L.A. Park. Well, allegedly, you didn't see who it was from on camera. And Jordan Oliver's mentioned another member is going to come in for Injustice, and they're still going after Contra. Contra's in a world of trouble, dude. I would not want to be part of Contra at this point in time.
If you are looking to support what's going on in the world and you want to do it in a wrestling vacuum, all the proceeds from any of the Injustice t-shirts are going to the NAACP.
Oh, that's cool.
So check that out. I'm sure they have a store on ProWrestlingTees.com. If you're out there, be safe. We got enough shit to worry about, so just take care of yourself and be safe.
Yeah, don't be dicks to each other. Seriously.
Just be fucking nice. That's
fucking
all.
Fucking wave to people. You know how much fucking, like, a smile and a wave will fucking do to people? It makes people fucking feel good, you know? Make people feel good. That's my quote for the week. Make people feel good. Tony, I don't mean in a sexual way either. Just say hi.
Oh.
Well, you can if you want to, if that's your thing. But, you know, far be it for me to fucking take away your sexual gratification. But just fucking be kind to each other.
Yeah. If you're gonna go out there and protest, please protest peacefully and do all that great stuff. And we love you all.
And I'll be back Wednesday night with D-Generation Y. We'll be back Thursday night with our Shining Wizards Fantasy Wrestling Draft. We'll go over the rules, and we're just gonna have a good time and shoot the shit with a bunch of our friends.
And I'm gonna bitch and moan about getting the number one pick. So tune in Thursday.
Oh, God. Just make sure.
I've never heard of anyone getting so upset with the number one pick before.
I'm upset. I'm pissed now.
Listen, Tony, if your number one pick that you had is so good and no one else is going to take him, you probably get him at, you know, later on in the draft.
I hate this shit. Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah,
I'm
he
gone.
Hates picks, Kevin, so he's going to stress over this hard
for
the next
everyone.
Couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done. Love, peace, and chicken grease, or whatever the fuck they say.
See you guys next week.
See ya!